Blog Talk Radio.
SID Friday in the Big Apple, New York City, Sports and Net, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. It's a Friday, SID Friday. A lot of things are happening in the world of sports, have happened, will be happening. Right now, you where it's happening at the Sports and Net, the Doc and the Posse, where we wrote the rumors, last of the issues, and brand new truth. Doc and his Posse, Sports and Net, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network, as we always open up. It's a prayer that gets us started. And so with that, let us get John Coltrane to once again lead us in prayer as we pay homage to the one and the only true God. Mr. Coltrane, please. Dear Lord, We thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. Lord, we thank you for things we largely take for granted. And more importantly, Lord, we thank you for blessings that have come, will come, and all in mercy. But more importantly, Lord, let your way be our way. More importantly, Lord, we just thank you for another day. Not knowing what tomorrow brings, but know who will bring tomorrow. And we pay homage to you and your daughters, and just simply saying thank you, the Lord. In the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Dr. Kelly, welcome to Block Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. And now, just let's cruise a little bit. Don't nobody move. Just relax for a second. Smokey Robinson, bring us in here. Smith Jr., who used to bring us on with this team. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. The Sports and Depth Nation is here. And the man who stirs the drink is here, Doc Stanley. We'll always miss him. And it will be a memory and a part of this show as long as there's Sports and Depth. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth, Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Network. It is a Friday, SID Friday. The gang is all here. Jumpshot Jonesy, the Hoopster, Double Barrel, Harold Weston Jr., and Dusty H. Red Brown. Also, we're going to run in and get us a boxing report from Gilberto Ortiz on the Latin side of working on boxing. It's been a big night, big day in sports. But I think the big thing that jumped out, Hoopster, right away, and if Ms. NFL 401 will be jumping with us too, LeBron James went back to Cleveland. And also, you said that this is something that was going to happen. You said here, once again, it's Sports and Depth. And I tell you, I constantly, through others, I am somebody. I constantly pat myself on the back because of this crew. What they bring to Sports and Depth, their intellect, their savvy, and their ability to not only deviate in areas of sports, but in the world. And so often, Sports and Depth is the world in debt, and it's the world of sports in its entirety. And Hoopster, you said you felt LeBron James was going back to Cleveland.
Yes, I did. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Yes, I did. I said that a while back he was going to go back home. He was homesick. And plus he was born and raised over there. He was kind of homesick, too, so. I'm glad he's back home, so.
Well, yeah, I looked at the situation, too. It was one in which, and you look at the great line that Dr. King once said, forgiveness is not occasional act, but permanent state of mind. And then there's a great line that Marion Boykin always uses, Marion B. Boykin for the greatest boxing show ever, Boykin on boxing, Marion B. Black Bodacious, bringing a brother, always let the better man in you emerge victorious. And I think this really sets a tone of how much of a bigger man, how much of class and character he has over this owner of Cleveland who is basically everything he is about his financial status and for LeBron. And there's a picture we have here in our collage.
You know, there's more. There's more. I know there's a lot more to talk about.
Yeah, well, hold on, Hoopster. Just calm down. You pass the ball, Hoopster. Come on, baby. Pass the ball.
Shoot that jump shot. I'm waiting for the open. Get open.
But there was a picture last year of a kid coming onto the court. While the Heat were in Cleveland and had on the back of the shirt, come back home. And they showed that photo there. Jump Shot Jonesy, So you in house with us, baby? Okay, I thought Jump Shot would be here with us, but now he'll be coming on with us eventually. But it's a situation, and you kind of saw this developing. Cap space is made. There were some trades made 2-3 weeks ago by Cleveland, enhancing the team and building the team around LeBron. And Dusty, I think, you know, in a lot of ways, as shocking as it is, it's really not.
It's not shocking. The man was homesick, want to come home. He's a Cleveland kid. He has all his roots in Cleveland. He just adventured into Miami to win the gold, because with Cleveland, he couldn't do crap. You know how he struggled with Cleveland by himself. Made him respectable, but he couldn't go to the brass ring. With Miami, he was able to do it twice. I thought he was going to pull it out a third time, but then again, he became the plow horse for the Miami Heat, and he was carrying that team throughout the playoffs and through the championship game. So now maybe Cleveland will learn a hard lesson and get some supportive players who are not worn out or tired or injured, and give him. Maybe he'll bring the brass ring to Cleveland this time. Now, in terms of Heat, I believe Moss, whatever his name is, he re-signed with the Heat.
Yes, he did. Yes, he correct. $118 million for 5 years.
Right,
that's correct.
So the fact of the matter is that Miami needs a guy like Boss. Maybe Wade will stay. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is that LeBron did, in a sense, I was putting marbles together and my head is squared, but he did what Shaquille O'Neal did for the Magic, Orlando Magic. He got as far as he could with Orlando Magic, and then I think what other team? One with the Lakers, was it?
The Lakers and the Heat.
The Lakers, and then when he wore out his welcome with the Lakers, he went to the Heat and made the Heat respectable.
You know, that's amazing that you said it. That how can a guy, Walt Frazier felt that Shaquille O'Neal probably was the greatest big man of all time. I remember Jim Mertz, the PR man for the Nets, when the Nets still had some sense of credibility, he said, on a night that Shaquille O'Neal was making his free throws, he was just completely unstoppable. And you can, how can a guy with that kind of ability, where his welcome, and you hit it sort of apropos, because Kobe said that the owner had told him, regardless, he was not going to re-sign Shaquille. So it was when Kobe making a decision, understand that Shaquille's not going to be here, I'm letting you know, but the owner, if all is as it was stated and reported, he said he wasn't going to sign Shaquille again. And Dusty, for you to say one is welcome out is really apropos. I mean, in the whole history of the game, you always want a big man. Shaquille's in the top five, top ten. Of course, exactly. The greatest big man of all time. And how can you let this guy go? I mean, he just won three championships in a row for you. He's taking to the championship again.
Yeah, but you have to understand something here. The measure of a man, it's a twofold double-edged sword. The measure of a man is a kid like Jeter, who stayed 20 years just like a civil servant with a team, delivered six World Series, MVP, Gold Glove. And he delivered, what was expected of him, but he is a homeboy. He stayed with the Yankees, who as a kid was his team. The Orlando Magic was built around Shaquille. But he took them, like I say, he took that wagon train as far as he could carry them until he said, man, I'm stifling here. I'm looking for a ring. I got to go to greener pastures. And from the greener pastures, the Lakers, he went to other greener pastures, although it was one season. But the And the measure of superstar is the fact that he, not the measure of a superstar, but gives him a little more identification of being a golden blue diamond is to carry his talent from team to team to team and deliver. I'm not saying Derek Jeter could not have done that with the Mets or some other team, but I like a guy like Shaquille who carried himself to other teams.
Said my thing is, and what I'm saying with you is, I don't understand how a guy like that, and really you don't have to elaborate it because you already said it from the beginning. How does a guy like that wear his welcome out? It's just crazy. You said that right on the money. How does one of the five greatest centers in the history of this game, unquestionably 10, he won 3 championships in L.A. He went to how does he wear his welcome out?
You have to deal with the unknown denominator of the egos and the Kobe Bryants and situation of that nature. Kobe Bryant owned the Lakers.
In Kobe's case, before Kobe was thinking about supposedly going to the owner told him, and we'll move from this. The owner told him he wasn't going to sign Shaquille. And the thing, bottom line, how could you in this game? You always say you need a big man in the middle. How could you have the best big man in the game, and he wears welcome out? That's just the thing I'm saying there.
The fact of the matter is that maybe non-team support. I'm only speculating, of course. There could have been a team that said, man, they're not going to sign this man.
What I'm saying is that there's nothing to validate him when he's welcome out. That's just the bottom line.
There is no validation. I agree. There's no validation.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The guy won 3 championships for you. Only in America. Jump Shot Jones, did he get in with us yet? I guess I'll catch you with Jump Shot. Jump Shot. Harold, you always got something to say. Your thoughts on LeBron James going back to Cleveland? Is Mr. NFL 1-4 is C Wings with us yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. All right. Okay, so I got Bestie, I got Harold, and I got waiting for Jump Shot to join us.
And Doc, did I tell you? I mean, let me interject this. Did I tell you that Carmelo is now Melo? Play with words, because he was waiting for LeBron to make his decision, and the rumors flying around through the NBA that Carmelo wanted to team up with LeBron.
Yes,
but he didn't want Cleveland. So what happens now, the Knicks now gave him a beautiful package, and now that LeBron went back home, he says, okay, I'll stay home, and I'll stay with the Knicks.
Well, you know the thing, too, here is that what LeBron did, too.
He ain't made no decision yet, though, Carmelo.
What's that?
I said he ain't made no decision yet, though.
Well, but you know what? I tell you what happened here. With LeBron leaving the Heat, and Melo comes back to the Knicks, that whole division now is up for grabs. You get the right team, that whole division is up for grabs because Bosh is going to stay. Okay, Bosh can't carry the team like LeBron did, and they're talking about him going to Chicago. But my thing is, the way Dwayne, his body's deteriorating. Just how much basketball does he have left, and just how many teams really want him? I mean, watching him play these last 2 years, he's nowhere near the player he used to be, and you got to figure what can he bring to the table, and then would he be the kind of guy willing to come off the bench?
Apropos to that, is his ego that big that he could that he now is going to be a known bench player and come in spot time? Who knows? But then again, Carmelo hasn't made up his mind, but there is the goldfish that they're hanging in front of his face.
There's a great story that Bill Roden wrote in Times the other day, and he said two things. He said, "Hey, you sign for the money, the best money, and you dispel the rumor. Teams always, here's Harold Weston Jr. Here's Dusty. Dusty won 20 games. Harold hit 347. And you come in and you're looking to negotiate. Now, you got the team over the barrel, and they're telling you, well, hey, look, you know, Vecino, we had you in the minor leagues, Harold, you know, we brought you up, you know, you were our third pick, draft pick, you know, so, you know, show some sort of loyalty here. And then when you turn around and say, hey, look, if you don't have more money than the Boston Red Sox have, and you say, if you're not going to pay me more than the Mets, I'm gone. Well, they say, well you were disloyal. What Reardon is saying here is that the players make the game. The players are the reason why the team is a team. It's not because they drafted you, because they drafted you because they wanted you, okay? And you are what makes the team. The team, the great line that the Chicago Bulls GM said that, you know, franchises make the team. Michael said, no, players make the team. Players win championships. And this is what Bill Rowan said. Rowan said, hey, look, you are the key, and get the money that you have coming. Get what you deserve, because what happens is when LeBron was an ingrate, you know, how could he do this? But when they dusty, okay, and when they do the same thing to you, Hooster, they say, well, hey, look, it's a business. You know it's a business. But when you in turn do it from a business standpoint of view, all of a sudden you're an ingrate.
You're not listening to what I'm trying to tell you. That Carmelo has not made up his mind, but he's leaning
towards. That's you're not listening to me.
No. Listen, for God's sake. I read it on the website. They are trying to entice other players. They're trying to get Gasol to come to the Knicks. Okay?
But Dusty, I'm with you on that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that when you as an athlete make the best business decision and do things in a business manner, you are the ingrate, you're ungrateful, you're selfish.
Yeah.
But when the team does the same thing to you, it is a business. When you handle business like a business and you benefit from it, there's something wrong. It's like the justice system. When the justice system in this country works for minorities, there's something wrong with it. But as long as it's working for non-minorities, there's nothing wrong with the system. I'm simply saying here, when you approach it from a business standpoint of view and you win, all of a sudden you – I mean, let's not forget Derek Jeter. You know, the Yankees screwed over Derek. When it came with Derek's contract, all of a sudden they didn't know what they were going to do.
You read
the
my
paper.
Mind. Yeah, you read my mind. They trashed him. He was not worth. It was not worth the years that he wants. He's injured. He lost a half a season, and because of him, we didn't win. And blah 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 blah. And finally, you know, he says, "I want to stay a Yankee." And he got a decent. To me, was a piece of crap. But he got a decent salary, a decent contract. Well, what was it? Over $55 million for 4 years, or some crap like that. I would not have signed that. I would have told them, my bottom line is $100 million, $25 million per for the next 4 years. I'm not looking for A-Rod contract, but at the same time, I deserve the respect of delivering, being here 20 freaking years, of delivering five World Series and all the gold gloves and silver bat or whatever the heck he, and not being scandalized in the social set. And you're gonna trash me? I would have loved if he had said, okay, Yankees, I'm going to the Mets or Cleveland or Boston or whatever. But of course he didn't do it. He's of another blood. But they talk about business, but it's personal. It's personal. They insult the slaves who have carried these people to the finish line. And this is what I'm trying to make you understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, this is my gospel. But this is what I'm trying to make you understand. I mean, they made it seem like he wore out his welcome, Shaquille. But he's the man that has delivered for three teams championships.
Yep.
And that makes him a unique god in sports. Now, would Derek Jeter have been at a higher level than Shaquille O'Neal or all the different sports if he had gone and won five World Series with five different teams that today are not winning anything? I don't know. But he stayed with the team and slaved for them, and then Cashman turns around and slashes the crap out of him. You know, so this is basically what I'm saying. You know, but now,
Dusty, it's know, it's that same thing. I remember as a police officer when I first started out, when you didn't answer when you didn't answer your radio, they want to know why you didn't answer your radio. And when you called them and they didn't answer you, they said, well, you know there's something wrong with the radios. The radios don't work all over. Well, you know, well, when I'm trying to, you know, when you tried to reach me, did it never enter your mind that maybe I'm in a dead spot? Like you said, you know, when you didn't answer the radio, it was on you. When they didn't answer the radio, it was still on you.
The onus is on you,
It just said such a jump. Jonesy has joined us here. We're looking for Lady A. I'm checking my numbers. I got 6463, that's Harold Weston Jr. Jump shot, real quickly, your reaction and thoughts of LeBron James going back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Well, pretty surprising, you know, at first, and then maybe not surprising at all. You know, obviously, you know, his heart is in Ohio along with his family and his friends, and you know, it's a level of, I think the one thing I guess we can learn is depending on your level of spirituality or faith, you know, to be able to forgive and to overcome and look past certain things that have happened and, you know, still move on. And I think, you know, it's not easy. Obviously, there's love there. You know, he's from Akron, Ohio. And, you know, to be able to put aside what this owner did when he left the first time, how he treated him when he left, the letter that he put on the website, which was just taken off four or five days ago. And, you know, seeing the images of his jersey being burned on YouTube, you know, that went national. And yet and still you can find it within yourself to say, look, you know what, we could put all these things behind us and still move forward, have a business relationship. And, you know, I guess, I don't know, you know, being honest, if I can do that. I'm not saying I can or I can't. But, you know, hey, hats off to him. And, you know, it's an opportunity for him to go back, and I guess he feels that there's unfinished business. So, you know, we wish him well. And what it does, really, from an NBA standpoint, a basketball standpoint, is it kind of opens up the Eastern Conference. You know, because if these guys have stayed together another 2-3 years, you know, as currently constituted as they were constituted, I don't know if anybody in the East would come up and be able to contend with them. We thought Indiana was the team last year, and they fizzled in the Eastern Conference Finals in 6 games. So, you know, hey, from a New York standpoint, with the Knicks and the Nets and the rest of the Eastern Conference, we're kind of happy in a way that the Big Three is no longer in existence.
They still got one and a half.
We'll
they still got
half.
Bosch.
Like
one,
Bosch.
Yeah, Bosch.
And, one and a half.
Right, I hear what you're saying about Dwayne Wade, but they'll be back. He'll probably go back to Miami, and they'll be formidable. You know, but dominant. I mean, you're talking about a team together. In this 4 years, in addition to going to the finals every year, which is
every year, and really had the chance to win the championship 4 years in a row. I mean, there is talk that against the Mavericks, that wasn't so much the Mavericks won as they lost. And what I said here, Doc Stanley, Sports and SID Friday, the gang's all here, Double Barrel, Howard Weston, Junior, Jump Shot, Jonesy, the Hoopster, H-Red Brown, Dusty X, and also looking for Lady A to join us. And eventually going to try to get Gilberto Ortiz, the Latin side of the Brooklyn boxing. I said this too. That first game, if they win that first game, it's a 2-2 series. Who knows what happens from there? I think the big key, the fact that Wade has constantly deteriorated, but I'll Bosch this stuff up. But who knows what happens if they do win the first game. But the bottom line is this. They were in the finals 4 years in a row, and they did 50%. They did 50%. Yeah. They went back-to-back. Okay.
Right. They won back to back.
And they won back to back. And everything that LeBron wanted to do. I mean, and let's look back at this. You know, what he wanted to accomplish, he did. He wanted to get into the finals and win the championship. He did that. They went to the finals 4 years in a row. He's been the MVP three of the last 4 years. He's accomplished everything he wanted to do and what he set out to do. And I think we've got to stop and applaud him for not only going that way, but everything happening the way he wanted. I mean, he wanted to win the championship 4 years in a row. No ifs and buts about that. But in retrospect, things fell into place for him. He got to the championship round with a team that could win. They came back 2 years in a row and did win. And me and Hoops are talking about this today. I still have some issues with that first game with the heat problem. I mean, I understand that San Antonio played under the same conditions, but this is the 21st century. It's the NBA Finals. And some should say, hey, you know what? If this court is not suitable, we'll do one or two things. We will play another day or you forfeit the game. That was inexcusable. Inexcusable for San Antonio not to have the air conditioning working for that game. There's no excuse for that. It's inexcusable.
Right.
Inexcusable. And as it turned out, it worked for them. Because, I mean, right. Now, imagine this. Can you imagine the fallout had that been a game back in the day and Michael Jordan cramped up? Huh?
Yeah.
Could you imagine the fallout had MJ cramped up in a game in the finals because the Eagles could you realize the fallout behind that? But his
again, Utah, he had a temperature. Remember, he played that out.
Yeah. But LeBron, they're questioning his ability to play hurt. You know, but like I said, had that been MJ. Right. MJ but not able to play. It's like the same thing when we go to Brazil. One of the things that made the injury to Neymar was beyond the fact that he was the most valuable and key player on his team, but he's one of the greatest stars in football. So, I mean, the fans felt the pride, too. And this is the line I'm thinking about. The guy said, that's Stanley, SID Friday, the gangs are here. There was an incident where they were talking, once again, about Isaiah not being on the Dream Team. And this guy, there was a documentary they showed where Ahmad Rashad was interviewing MJ, and you know they're close friends. And you know he's not going to ask the tough questions, this guy said. And the guy said one thing. He said, you know, beyond the fact that Isaiah wasn't on the team because of Mike, he said, you know, Mike deprived the world of seeing visibly the best basketball team ever. Because in retrospect, it was not the best basketball team ever because Isaiah wasn't there. So the deletion of Isaiah not only was one from society, but also one from history. And Stephen A. Smith had a great run, and he said it was beyond foul, beyond foul. And he said in that nonsense about you had to all get along. He said, though, do you think that after the game, Mike was hanging with everybody? It's him and Scotty. There's Magic and Bird. I mean, the guys fell off and into their sections, but the big thing was the guy said it was the deletion of Isaiah not only deprived people of that era, but the world historically. And that was just I thought it was a whole different perspective. And he felt that and you know, I thought about it too. And Hoopster and Jump Shot, it may be kind of comical, but you know, why was Dominic Wilkins not on that team? And I thought the other day and yesterday, and I don't think it's true, but it's comical. I mean, was Mike mad at him because he beat him in the slam dunk? There was no way in the world Dominic Wilkins shouldn't have been on that team. I mean, there were too many other forwards that Chris Mullin should have been in. Wilkins, Sean Kemp, Alice Inglis. What about James Worthy? Well, are you serious? Are you serious? But, you know, sad in touch. You're not standing for the Block Talk Radio on the Custom Guard Radio Network, SID Friday. We're talking about a lot of things. We got some boxing going on. Trying to catch up to Gilberto T to join us. And hold on. Whatever we got here, is this Mr. NFL 411 finally with us?
Mr. NFL 411 has landed. Good evening.
You know what?
How we doing, Mr.
You know, real quickly before we do anything.
What's up?
What's up? Who's
I want to say, hold on. Was it happy birthday yesterday to the first lady of SID Sports, Lady A, and two. When he retired from baseball, only he and Willie Mays
hit over 300 home runs and stole 300 bases. Andre the Hawk Dawson. And right now, I think there's only four players that would do that. And happy birthday. And happy birthday to Bronze. And also saying happy birthday to Jose Canseco. Once again, legend, Larry the Legend Hardesty. And also remembering, also in July, Arthur Ashe. Yeah, but first of all, Lady A and Andre Dawson, happy birthday, and we love you both immensely. And with that, let's go. Okay, Mr. NFL 411, we're going to talk in a minute, but real quickly, let's go to you. Joe Namath said that there is nothing positive about Geno Smith, and Geno Smith's stats show him to be a pretty horrible quarterback. Mr. NFL 411, talk to me.
Well, first thing I must say, thank you, Doc, for once again putting the family together on the air for our listeners out there. And happy birthday to you. You celebrated your birthday on June 27th. And quickly, I would like to congratulate our fellow media personnel, Kimberly Martin and Jeff Roberts. They married on my birthday, July 3rd, so congratulations to them both. She's a beat writer for New York Newsday. She covers the New York Jets.
Yeah.
So I just want to congratulate her and her new husband. Well, getting on to Geno Smith, I mean, I don't know of any rookie quarterback that's really been a big impact quarterback coming out of college. You're going to struggle. You're getting used to a different game. With Geno Smith last year, not only was he making a transition into the National Football League, but you were coming onto a team which had really subpar receiving core and some issues on the offensive line. I think with the bolster, with the Eric Decker, you got Stephen Hill. He's bulked up. He's been working in the off season. Jeremy Curley. A couple of the guys that they got in the draft, I think they'll be pretty well this year, even though that they have a tough schedule. But I like Geno Smith. I mean, he handles himself well as opposed to Sanchez. Yeah, I mean, when he makes a mistake, he comes right back.
Yeah.
He comes right back into the game like nothing ever happened, which is the best way to go if you're going to grow in the National Football League. So this is the year that Geno Smith has to not only shine, has to show what he's made of.
Michael Vick on his tail who says, I'm going to be the starting quarterback. So that's enough of an incentive or pressure for him to say, hey, this guy's a veteran, but this is my team, and I'm not going to lose it to him. You know, but getting back to the go ahead. I was just going to say
something. You make an excellent point there, Dusty.
Yeah.
He has, I would say, an advantage over what Mark Sanchez didn't have. He didn't have that veteran quarterback behind
him.
Mark Brunell was just there filling out
the point,
a uniform, collecting a paycheck.
And
you got somebody to look over your shoulder, somebody you can learn from.
Right.
I mean, but listen, a quarterback like Michael Vick is not coming here to be a backup.
Exactly.
I mean, so you make an excellent point there. So we'll see. I think he's going to get a majority of the snaps, about 70 to 75%, Geno Smith in training camp. But they start out with at home against the Raiders.
Raiders.
A lot of players in the offseason, free agency, that – you will see probably an improved defense, maybe even the offense too as well. And then they go on the road to play the Green Bay Packers. So, I mean,
you
can easily struggle in the first two games. Go ahead.
What do you think about the Packers not retiring Brett Favre's jersey?
Well, I mean, I think that's
crazy.
An organizational I like Brett Favre.
Decision,
I watched
him. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you'll never get to know 100% the workings of the organization that you cover or any NFL team, even as a beat writer. But I think that's just a personal decision there.
Yeah, the decision made by the
I
think they should have honored him.
Yeah,
I mean, he didn't leave in bad graces. So I don't know what's the idea behind that. I mean, he was a great quarterback. He brought them
Super Bowl.
Yeah, having
you know, sit on a bench, and then when he got his opportunity, the guy broke all type of records, even up in his later ages. I mean, the guy was phenomenal until he was taken out by the Saints.
Exactly.
I think he could have played another year.
Bounty Gate. Bounty, a hit on him.
You know, I mean, he threw a lot of interceptions too, but this guy had an arm on him. I mean, he could be going down, and he'll throw it 40, 50 yards.
Absolutely, yeah. But
I think they should have honored him, but that's an organizational decision.
Yeah.
I don't think you ever know.
It wasn't the right one. It is an organizational decision, but it's not the right one. And, you know, he may not have won the number of championships that Bart Starr won with the Packers.
Yeah.
In a Packer uniform, but he did. Two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
He did break all kind of records.
He broke records.
He played hurt. Mm-hmm. He was a true performer. You know, you don't have to like Brett Favre. You just have to honor and respect what he did on the football field when he put that uniform on.
Yeah.
And I was there at that game. And when they broke the winning streak of the Tennessee Titans that time, that was back in 2008.
Exactly.
They were on point to go they were thinking they were going to go undefeated that year.
Mm,
I think they were. I think it was 10-0. They would have won 11-0 if they would have beat the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And Brett Favre, he broke that streak, him and the Jets. So,
exactly.
I mean, this guy is unbelievable. He can. Mm. I think he could still play today.
Yeah, he could still play. But then again, you know, he got the young pups. But Doc, you made a remark about Joe Namath making remarks about some of these young quarterbacks don't know, you know, have not made an impact. I don't know if I misunderstood you, but is he going around now in his senior citizenry knocking down quarterbacks because they were not as great as him? Because, hey, he was a one-shot deal, number one. Number two, you have some quarterbacks that have earned their rookie monies, the Cam Newtons, and the 3G, the RG or 3G, what was it, the guy from Washington Redskins?
RG3.
Yeah, RG3. They have played phenomenal. In fact, RG3, didn't they lead the Redskins to the playoffs in his rookie year, I think? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. But
don't forget that
Russell Wilson is to be criticizing these people, man.
Russell Wilson
Russell Wilson.
Minimum salary. And he has a Super Bowl. I mean,
exactly.
He stays under the radar.
You know what? Two things here. I'm glad you brought it. The two things here. The Redskins. I mean, what is this hypocrisy about changing the names?
Did you read today's paper? The article? The article says, you never call an Indian a Redskin, so why are you going to I mean, this is so comical. You never call an Indian a Redskin, so why are you going to carry a team that's going to be called Redskins? I mean, I'm saying, my God in heaven, this is, well, millenniums, decades, that this team has been carrying the Redskin name without any repercussions.
But not only that, Dusty, the point is, you know, there are no Indians offended by it. I mean, there may be some, myself, me and my family, we're half Indian, but my point is, you know, cut the bullshit. Do something for the Indian. You're screwing them for years. I mean, there's a great line that Henry Ford said, anybody who thinks they can depend on the government to take care of them, okay, all they have to look at the American Indian. Okay? So cut all this nonsense. If you want to do something, then, you know, let's give them some health care. The poverty rate that they have, the suicide rate, the way they've been mistreated. I mean, outside of African Americans, who's been treated worse? But, I mean, there's kind of this
they still live in Compton. Don't forget the drug usage, too. Is there high drug usage?
It has to be. But, I mean, let's talk about the story of giving them blankets and putting small. And you're talking about my people there, because I'm Blackfoot and Cherokee. I mean, putting smallpox in blankets, shooting kids coming out of holes. You know, cut the bullshit. Do something. And then think about the Redskins. Their owner, you know, finally integrated with Bobby Mitchell only because it was a city-funded principality. And President Kennedy said, hey, look, we're not going to fund you anymore until you get some African-American players. And he had it so set up that when he died, that none of his money, any way, shape, or form, went to any sort of civil rights or integration movement. This is how bad this guy hated the civil rights movement, African Americans. But I mean, what's this nonsense? There's nothing about
but the
Redskins.
But there's always been some sort of movement with changing
the names of sporting teams. But what I say is
that I think with the Clippers, with that incident there,
that was
kind of shed some light on the Redskins. Because if you go back 20, 25 years, 30 years, there's always been some sort of movement to change the not only the Redskins, the Seminoles, the Atlanta Braves, the Kansas City
Chiefs. What I'm saying is, excuse me, screw the movement. Do something for them. What's his name stuff? It's the same thing. The same thing. Like they talk about what a great job the commissioner did. What choice do you have? Your house is on fire. You're going to call the fire department. What are you going to do? Come on. The house is on fire. You're going to call the fire department. I mean, you know, what Sterling showed, and what I said is he is just a one of the many people who have that mindset that he spoke out. He spoke out. He exposed himself. This guy's been in that business 30 years. He's been in that business 30 years. I mean, we can see the Knicks. Of all the great players the Knicks have had, Jackson was a scrub. A scrub. Not even a good scrub. A scrub. Okay? Now, they did bring Isaiah in, but what about Walt Frazier? What about Earl Monroe? Howie Evans, the great legendary sports editor of the Amsterdam News, called the dean of American Sports Writers, said, you know, had the Knicks, okay, had some concern for Dean Memminger, there's a very good chance he'd be alive today. So, I mean, what does the name mean? So they stopped calling this nigger and they call us African Americans. They're still treating us the same way or worse. What's the difference?
Did you read the article last week about this guy's talk about the nigger in the house? And that was a reference to President Obama. Did you guys read the article? The nigger in the house. I mean, for God's sake, how could they go so feel so liberal and so depth to be doing something like that?
Now, how about they named him one of the worst presidents now.
The worst president since 1945. Clinton, was voted ahead of him. Okay. I'm not saying Reagan wasn't there. I'm saying Clinton, with all of his shenanigans, was voted ahead of him. Kennedy, who didn't even complete a full term, was voted ahead of him. And Ronald Reagan, I was told by somebody one time.
Kennedy's a bedroom athlete of Marlboro Monroe, yeah.
Don't forget Nixon, who had to resign.
Somebody told me that they went into, I remember, Allen Shea Stadium, and Doc Finney sports it up SID Friday here with the crew, and they said that they went into one of Ronald Reagan's house, and there wasn't a book in the house. Not one book in the house. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, I mean, it just, I mean, we haven't had a president who's been shown this kind of disrespect, disloyalty. Anything of a negative nature that happens right away, it's the Obama administration. I mean, he's all of a sudden they're questioning him stopping the troops from coming home. I mean, it's just amazing. You know what? Yeah, Dusty, you hit a two in home run, but you didn't hit it far enough, so we're gonna make it a triple. What are you telling?
Damned if you do, and damned if you don't.
Only in America.
What the hell is going on? He has been end run and stopgap from the first time he walked into the White House. I mean, it's obvious. But the fact of the matter is that I've never heard anybody in the last 10 administrations racially pinpoint a president for his racial background. I mean, this word of course, was insulting. But, you know, we talk about it, the nigger in the house. My Lord in heaven, that reminds me of was it Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man or the other book that I read called And the Spook Who Sat by the Door by the guy who wanted to be a CIA agent and never got, you know, the other great book, I don't know if you guys have read it, it was called The Man. The Man was a fictional story on the first black president. And my Lord, when all the worms came out of the rocks, and we, when this man who was Speaker of the House, the president died, the vice president had a stroke, he was, and then the position went to the Speaker of the House, who happens to be black. And my Lord, they pulled out every reason why he couldn't be, and the subjugation and the end running and the whole nine yards. And yeah, and you're right. This crap got to stop, but it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop.
It's the fiber in Corpus Christi. Tremendous story.
It's
Brazil. I'm looking at some of the terms they had. Brazil is going through a thing. Ironically, what is happening? I'm going to try to catch a presentation called Tomasio. Brazil has a situation sort of like the one we were supposed to have as African Americans: the 40 acres and a mule. And now they're starting work for that movement. And one thing they said is that nowhere in Brazil has the situation racially anywhere near devoured and institutionalized as it is here. And
this is the leader of the parade.
That,
Well,
Brazil, because Brazil was the last country to abolish slavery. I have a picture of the city that I visited, which was the first city to give it slavery, but Brazil, but one of the reasons why, too, because once again, outside of Africa, Brazil has the highest populace of African descent of any place and outside of Nigeria. And the thing is that they were the last to give it slaves because, I mean, the availability for slaves, they were right there. I mean, if they had a problem with a slave diet or something, they could have by next week, whereas opposed to here we had to come. Harold, you're sitting there, and you know, Harold is your thoughts on LeBron coming back, and your thoughts too, Harold, on the constant disrespect and unappreciative attitudes showed toward President Obama.
The James thing was a little surprise to me, but I don't understand his reason why he's doing it. I mean, he has accomplished everything. He has accomplished what he wanted to do in basketball by winning the championship. And then at the same time, he wants to go back home and try to see if he can do something with Cleveland. I think Cleveland's got a good thing going on now. Now they got a star basketball player, and then they got a star quarterback coming out of college.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Cleveland is on the roll. And if the two guys in the different sports come out and really play a good season, Cleveland is going to be hot. And so, it's going to be interesting. That's one thing about it. I can tell you ticket sales are already being sold already in advance.
Yeah, the preseason and all that nonsense.
And the new show.
Oh, yeah, well, here's a guy. Real quickly, we want to also say happy birthday to 27th of this month. Is Alex Rodriguez, the only infielder in baseball history ever to do 40-40. And right now, nobody else has done that in history of baseball and in the 21st century. Birthdays this month, once again, we're saluting our own, the first lady of sports in depth, SID Sports, and who brings us to Boxing Wave with Lady A, Adrian Pasquale, our Lady A. Also, yesterday was the birthday of Andre the Hawk Dawson. When Andre Dawson retired from baseball, only he and Willie Mays had ever hit over 300 home runs and stole over 300 bases. Rookie of the Year, MVP with the Chicago Cubs. Guy could sing one of the class act of sports. Always carried himself as a superstar and just one of the great players. A Hall of Famer. Should have gotten in as a first ballot, but he's a Hall of Famer. We say happy birthday to Larry, the legend of Hardesty, the greatest African sportscaster in the history of radio. You're number one here, you're number one in the world, and his same birthday as Jose Canseco, first guy to do 40-40 in the history of baseball. Arthur Ashe has a birthday this month. Also that of, we talked to Barry Bonds, and Satchel Paige, July 7th, the greatest pitcher in the history of baseball, Leroy Satchel Paige, has a birthday. This is a really big month, too, for my family. It's kind of crazy. My grandfather, whose birthday was the 26th of June, well, from the 26th of June to the end of July, he has 14
grandchildren born. With me and my sister Helen the day after him. So we say happy birthday to all my cousins, Robert, I think I still call my cousin Reggie, Robert Elba Faye Jr., the first and only African-American commander of the JCSE unit in the history of the United States military. And he was a lieutenant colonel doing a colonel slot. And he's the only African-American commander ever in the history of the JCSE unit, the unit in which the Air Force was derived out of. Him and his brother, Reggie, were born this month. Cousins also, Vanel, Sylvester, Paulette, and my sister Teresa, and Paul, PJ, and Mark, who will have birthdays. And like I said, my grandfather, from the June 26th till the end of this month, has be 14, 15 grandchildren born. If you take the month of June, he's got 16 all together. We just want to say happy birthday to everybody that has a birthday this month. Also, the greatest niece in the world. Hey, your daughter, Dusty Gabby's got a birthday coming up, too. Oh, Gabby, sweet Gabby. She's got a birthday coming this month, too. So we're saying happy birthday to everybody there. Harold, you talked about a tremendous point that you made about LeBron, and that was one of the things you talked about, the returning to Cleveland to be able to help his city and his people. And that's a great line. Ali says, service to others is meant to pay for your room here on earth. And service to others, that's his line. And Dr. King says, life must assist them with urgent question. Is what are you doing for others? So this is a situation, Hal, that he's not thinking just about himself. I mean, at this point, the kind of money these guys are making, with the case of Melo, I mean, from 70 to 100, but the money's not the issue. And you got to take your hat off to him, Harold. I'm a basketball people, jump shot and hoops can come on too. You have to take your hat off to Harold for showing concern about more than just himself and his immediate family, Harold.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, basically, he accomplished, every athlete is accomplishing to win a championship in their industry. And he did that. He won two championships. So he's accomplished. He's got the money. He's still young. So now, you know, he's coming back and giving back to his own city. And he's going, I think he's going to do good. I think that the players that, you know, last 3 years, they have drafted the number one players in Cleveland. And so basically, he's got a group of guys that's going to follow him, and they're hungry. So, you know, Cleveland's going to be a pretty tough team. I forget who their coach is, but whoever's
Pratt. He used to be with the Lakers. He used to be assistant coach on the Lakers.
Right. All right.
That's amazing because the coach that was the original coach was there, and I think he's the only coach in NBA history or sports history that got fired twice in the same year. Am I right, Hoopsman?
Yeah, that's correct.
Matter of fact,
he got fired three times from the Lakers and the Clippers twice. I mean, Cavaliers twice.
Well, you know, whoever the coach is, if they play the same.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he also wins 67% of the games that he coaches also. So that's going to be another. You know, when we're talking about black coaches who have achieved success and still can't get jobs, Mark Jackson. You know, that's another topic, I guess, that we'll cover.
You bring up a good point because there was talk about the coach from UConn interviewing for the Laker job, but at the same time, there's a big story about the constant deletion of black coaches in college basketball. I mean, remember time there was John Thompson, we had Richardson, Arkansas, and you're looking around, and this is what we talked about, this Redskin thing. You know, as often as things change, they remain the same. I mean, they remain the same. Well, I mean, where are the African-American coaches? I mean, in baseball,
hey.
I mean, Dusty Baker, gone. I mean, how many black managers we got in baseball now? Dusty Baker's been manager a year three times. Dusty Baker should never, ever have to want a job. It's amazing.
Exactly.
And then we got this guy, the Mets, where every loss he's telling you about, they're playing as hard as they can. You can't make them. He's making every year. Every
hey.
Game. And when he wins two, three games in a row, you know, that's one of the finest players. Willie Randolph, the second highest winning percentage in the history of the Mets. No manager outside of David Johnson really can't find a job. He's a Yankee. He won World Series with the Yankees, the only second baseman to never make an error
in postseason play, and you would think Willie Randolph was played back in the 1940s. Can't find a job. How can Willie Randolph can't find a job? Chris Chandler gets fired as the batting coach of the world champions. How did that happen? He got fired as the batting coach of the world champions. Got fired. What did you do wrong, Chris Royer? They only hit 287 last time. How did it happen?
But look at the Mets. It's the curse of the firing of Willie Randolph. They haven't recovered yet.
No.
When have you heard you fired a coach in the midst of a winning streak on the road?
Never seen it before. Never seen it before. You're winning. You're on the road, but you know these kind of things you can always do to them people. It's sad and it's touching, as Harold Weston says, and as Looney would say, a point well taken. But you know, as often as things change, they remain the same. I mean, where are the black baseball players in baseball? Now you talk about Cleveland. Jim Brown had that black economic human movement there. I mean, the FBI was following him. They were tracing it, tracking him. You know, it's sad and touching. People talked about LeBron James. I mean, he made the best decision for LeBron James. And all of a sudden, what was he supposed to do? Larry Holmes break line. It's hard to stop doing the best thing you do in life if people are still going to pay for it. Sad and touching, as Harold Weston says. You know, it's just...
Yeah, but one of the things you have to understand, too, Doc, is that even though baseball, for example, is inundated by a lot of Latins and foreigners and Tanaka now who's facing Tommy John surgeries and all that, is the fact that African-American ball players and athletes, have the option in school, through school, to Little League, to high school
good
or colleges, to play other sports.
Marion Boykin, you brought up a good point. Marion Boykin, okay, whose son was part of an elite Little League team, told me,
right,
in the Little League, they are systematically deleting out the black athletes. You are an outstanding shortstop, okay? You're an outstanding shortstop, Dusty, and what do? They put you into the outfield. So now,
being
one of the eight best shortstops, you're now 10 of 40 outfielders.
Remember that's what they do.
They're systematically deleting the elite. Where you become elite in one spot, they move you from that spot.
Yeah. Remember that symposium that you and I attended? Where the guys, father and son, track stars in gold medals and bronze medals of those 8, 9, 10 guys.
The Jenkins.
The point that I try to drive into them is why were they all track stars? What happened to their ability to play baseball or basketball or football?
They were there, Dusty, as track stars because they were there because they were influenced by Jesse Owens. And at that time in America,
besides being influenced by Jesse Owens, okay, they in somewhere throughout their athletic career that's when I asked the guy, did you play football? Did you do anything else? He said, well, I played some football, and I bet you any amount of money. And my warped mentality that they were denied playing those other major sports. And the only, because this happened to kids that I know of, it happened to my son, never made a team, but they encouraged the kids to run track for the school. Or you could run, but you can't play baseball. Or you could run, but you can't play basketball.
You can run, but you can't play football. You validate the point right there. But at that time, we have to understand, Dusty, we're talking about the 20s. And there was no, Joe Black talked about that. You know, when he got to go to the next level, his friends said, Joe, this is it for you, man. Joe said, what? Joe, they know, okay, your hero may be Hank Greenberg, but they know blacks in baseball. This is it for you.
Exactly.
I mean, Art Black told me something that was so profound and how Doc Stanley Sports and SID Friday. I'll never forget what the late, great Art Rush told me.
And he was my last of the three mentors. The first was late Dr. Frank Bannister. Sorry to say all late. The late, the iconic also, too, Hal Jackson. Art Rush Jr. told me that he thought, this is amazing, Art Rush told me that he thought there would never be a black baseball player. The Yankees said they would never have one in the organization. And the quote is that when Elton Howard came to the Yankees, Church of Sinners said, when they gave me one, he couldn't run. When they gave me one, he couldn't run, which would lose to the mindset that you said, Dusty, about, okay, they can run. But, you know, the thing with those guys had, Dusty, and what we talked about this, too, was there they were, dispelling the myth and the lie of the Aryan supremacy, and then coming back here, and I mean, Jesse was racing horses, couldn't get a job. Sad and touching. Joe, let's play a little quick music. We're going to talk some boxing. I've got the Double Barrel Harold, the Hoopster, Jump Shot, NFL 411, A-Threat Brian. Got another caller here, but we're going to also talk a little boxing. We've got us a good solid hour. So SID Friday, LeBron James goes home. Brazil fails at home. And one of the things, I'm going to try to catch you with Deja Cotamacho. Maybe I can get him to join us, too. He's here from Brazil. Tomorrow, Brazil plays in the consolation game. They will
Sunday.
Play against Netherlands.
Sorry.
Yeah, they play. And then championship game, Germany, who has, I think they've been going for the fourth World Cup. And Argentina, and this is for Brazil. This is like the Boston Red Sox playing Yankee Stadium for the championship. But there's some issues that we're going to talk about that game, the game against Colombia, who played so well. James turned out to be a face that's become a star. We know Messi considered the best player in the game today. Ronaldo and Portugal bounced out early. Neymar, whoever thought his profound effect offensively, but also Thiago, the captain. Well, we'll talk about it. The fouls they made were just so stupid. Little music, can talk a little boxing, and we also want to get the Latin side of working on boxing in just a minute. Once again, the birthday.
Hey,
One
more thing.
Keep it going, Jeff. We want to take
some time and pay homage to one of the greatest players and one of the greatest people in professional sports and baseball who just recently passed away, and that would be Mr. Padre himself, Mr. Tony Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn, yeah.
338, I got to put him in a 338 lifetime batting average, 8 batting championships, played his whole career. Well, you know, and the sad thing about that is 54, which is a young man. You're not a man to 42. The tobacco.
He was his own worst enemy. He knew he had it. He knew he shouldn't have done that. But he says, "Well, this is how I play," and actually gives me a comfort zone or something like that. That's how he argue the point of using it, but it's unfortunate.
Sad and touching, as Howard would say. And for those of you, the Trust in God Sports and Entertainment Artifacts Museum, we have two Tony Gwynn bats here. I have a couple of balls. I have a cap. I had a Padre cap. Dick Robbins gave me Tony's, signed up from the good little buddy. Me and Tony used to talk music stuff. Got a couple of pictures with him. And like I said, great player. The story, I have two Tony's bats. Tony gave me one, and the second one, Ricky, who played, they were friends, and when Ricky Henderson, I say Ricky, I'm talking about Ricky Henderson, Eddie, I'm talking about Eddie Murray, and always Julius and Julius Everett. And I asked Ricky, I said, you know, when you go out to play the Padres, you know, get Tony to send me a bat. And sure enough, Tony got me another bat. 331, 338 lifetime, really unheard of. Eight-time batting champion. Eight-time batting champion. That's the most batting championship won by a minority player, an African-American. I believe Crew has seven or six. Eight-time would surpass Stan Musial's seven. Musial had seven and a 331 lifetime batting average. Let's play a little music. Come on back. Gentlemen, get your thoughts together. We're going to talk boxing in a minute. Let's play music. Doc Stanley, Sports at Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. This year, historically, Eddie Kendrick's last song with the Temptations, and their second and last song, number one across the board. Rock pop, R&B, and soul. The legendary, iconic, Eddie Kendrick, Temptations. No more David Rubin here, but he still had four wins. Otis Williams, Dennis Edwards had replaced David, good wish him, Melvin Frank. Ladies and gentlemen, hold tight. We'll be back in a minute. SID Friday, Eddie Kendrick and the Temptations. No, not your imagination, but it's just this.
Classic song from Brazil. And when the World Cup started, things were kind of very beautiful for Brazil. When I first went to Brazil, the girl, the lady who that song was written for, I got a chance to meet her. Her first name is Helen, and I remember because of my sister's name. But now, Brazil is in disarray. Tomorrow they play for the consolation game. Never had they lost as bad as they lost the Germans 7-1. They had not lost. They had not lost a game of merit in Brazil since 1975. And they were looking to add to their record of the most World Cups. Neymar got hurt, and Thiago, the captain, went down, and the rest, they say, is history. I thought the foul
caused by Thiago was a stupid foul trying to block the kick from the kicker from Colombia, but more importantly, Julio Cesar, the kicker from Brazil, committed the biggest foul when he fouled James from Colombia, which turned the whole game around. With about 4 or 5 minutes left to go, Brazil was up 2-0, which was really an insurmountable lead against Brazil, outstanding defensive team in Brazil. But when James scored on the penalty kick, it took the whole mindset changed. All of a sudden, Colombia was back in the game. All of a sudden, they changed their mindset. There's no excuse for the foul that was committed against Neymar, but at the same time, the question has to be asked, why was Neymar still in the game? I mean, you know, okay, it's like being up by 22 points with 3 minutes left, so now the lead's cut to 11. I mean, you can always put Neymar back in. And Ronaldo, I spoke to Deja Cotema, so I'll try to catch up with, said the same thing. Why was Neymar in the game at that point of the game? All intents and purposes was won. And, well, you know, Dusty, they're not happy in Brazil. So for all, yeah, does he?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah. I was saying, you know, you saw the game,
Brazil,
the game against Argentina against Holland was the first time you ever had a semifinal game going to both the overtime and be sided by penalty kicks. But going back to the well, you know what? We still got Hal is still there. Let me let you guys talk a little boxing real quick. I'm going to back in the studio and try to get Deja Cotemaccio to join us, and then I'll get back to – well, let me get my thoughts here on football. First of all, it was a
make
crazy, stupid
mind.
Foul. No,
yeah,
that's, you know, I mean, it was a stupid foul by the goalie. When he came out and fouled James, that was a stupid foul. A lot of people said he should have got a yellow card. Okay, but now you're up to zip. With about 4 minutes left in the game, 5 minutes left in the game is over. You commit the foul, James gets a penalty kick. It's a 2-1 game now. All of a sudden, the whole mindset of Colombia changed. And now they were back in the game. You know, 2-1 is a whole big difference from 2-0. And I'm thinking, you add that to the fact that Neymar shouldn't have been in the game, but at the same time, maybe the intensity of the defense played by Colombia wouldn't have been as bad. But you know, this whole thing goes back to okay, I think I got the Mr. NFL joining us again. This is, the whole thing goes back to the coach, Felipe. He omitted some outs. They didn't understand why he omitted guys like Ronaldinho, Kaká, Ronaldo. When he put the team together, he seemed to want to have his own identity, and he didn't show any consideration or respect for some veteran players who, when they won the World Cup, Ronaldinho was a vital part of that team with Ronaldo, but he didn't show any respect for the guys who have helped make Brazil one of the greatest football team of all time. And he didn't have any veterans there, Dusty. He didn't have any guys there.
These guys got super egos, and they make decisions.
Dusty, hit it right on the head.
And they're not going to be questioned because they're put there to drop the hammer and make decisions as per what they want to do. Unfortunately, some of the decisions are all screwed up. But you got to understand, too.
I heard that they fired him on the spot after the game. They're going to let him coach his game tomorrow, and that's it. And he deserves it. The omission of some of the people that he omitted was just
he makes his decision, but you know, I try to talk to you the other day, and I try to how the scandal that has been rampant through the World Cup, you know, of the
that's a tremendous point. There were some players, I believe, a guy in one of those teams that was suspended. That whole FIFA thing. I mean, let's go back to the issues. I'm gonna try to catch Coach Tomac. You know what? Let's talk boxing. I'm going to the studio. You and Harold and the rest of the crew, Jump Shot. Okay, we've got tomorrow's fight, big fight. Laura against Alvarez.
Lara.
Lady
Lara.
Ace.
Lara, I could say, listen, it's an American show. I can say with American accent, okay? Back
no,
over
no,
Cuban
no,
thing,
you
okay?
cannot, you cannot
you know,
desecrate my language.
Thing.
You cannot
desecrate
my Spanish language. Pronounce it correctly.
Hey, listen, you know what? You got to hold it, you know what? You got a whole different attitude when you get that green card, Dusty. A whole different attitude.
That's right.
You know what
I
mean? I
have a bad attitude. I am an Americano.
Hey, Dusty. But
you got one for the mule, Dusty?
I am Americano. So you speak the correct language.
Hey, Dusty, you're a gringo no more. Listen, Lady A said something, Harold and panel. She said that in watching the Angulo-Lara fight, he's susceptible to the right uppercut. He says, Alvarez had
no,
a dynamite
no,
right uppercut. Everybody say happy birthday to the first lady of SID Sports. Ladies and gentlemen, the incomparable, the legendary. Everybody, hit. Lady A for you, baby. Happy birthday. Hey, one time.
Happy
everybody,
birthday.
Here she is.
Thank you.
Happy
thank
birthday
you,
to
me.
Don James,
you.
Too, Lady A.
thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Feliz quinceañera.
Put on my happy birthday. I say I will correct him. I'm gonna say it's the left hook. I saw, you know, in the Angulo fight, Dusty. You and I had talked about it when we were together at the Brodnikov fight. Mm. In the Angulo fight, you know, I watched the fight three times and I said, wow, you know, the fact that he was out there from when he was throwing his punches, Angulo was able to land him twice with that left hook, and also. Those body shots that Angulo got him with, I was surprised. When he was coming back in that fight, Angulo was coming back, you know?
Angulo dropped him twice with right hands. That's what it was. He caught him clean and knocked him down for 9 counts.
Yeah,
check
but those left hooks, though,
but
those
the,
left hooks
but,
that were hitting the body,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, but I, no, no, you're absolutely right. The body shots. But when he caught him clean with that right hand and knocked him down for 9 counts each. Now,
yeah.
this is what Canelo, who has a problem with stamina, has to do early. And if he doesn't do it, Lara is going to dance away to a decision.
But also,
unless it's so close,
his head movement, you know, in those fights, like his head movement was like he's starting the later fights, and he's starting to improve a little bit on that. But if his stamina doesn't pick up. And with those head, with him not moving his head around,
he's gonna have a
problem with his lateral movement, man.
Yeah, I've been telling you guys for the longest. I'm not sold on Canelo. In fact, I read the article the other day that Golden Boy Oscar said he regrets mashing him up with Mayweather too soon. He should have had 3 or 4 maturity fights before he took on. You know, but they were so anxious to create the second Golden Boy and Cinco de Mayo and all that celebration and the rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah that they threw him in. He was the sacrificial lamb, and you saw
for 12 rounds,
he got slapped around for 12 rounds and embarrassed. When a Mayweather turns around and throws 5 unanswered right hands to a Canelo, that's embarrassing.
Should we really be giving this guy accolades or putting him down? Because not for nothing, Doc and I have said before, at least he's stepping to the plate and fighting guys.
Canelo can walk in there and fight the Klitschko's. Great for him. But is he ready to fight the Klitschko's? That's what I'm trying to say. They're now realizing they made a mistake. They build him up to the ever-winning God. And Mayweather took him to school. Now, if you look at him, to me, he's still traumatized over that. And he's always had problems with guys who are boxers. Matthew Hatton, Ricky Hatton's older brother, man, he gave him a hard time for 11 rounds. Shane Mosley, Miguel Cotto's older brother, almost knocked him out with a freaking left hook.
He barely beat Trout and Southpaw.
And to me, Trout beat Canelo, but of course I'm not the judge, man.
He also fought another Southpaw, Dusty, in 2009. I forget his name. They gave him problems too. You remember his name? I can't remember his name. He gave him a hard time too in 2009. So. Honestly, I think Lara's going to win this fight. I mean, I don't think this is a good fight for him. I mean, I think Lara has a shot to win this fight.
And the fact that a lot of things that when I beat him, I'm going after Floyd Mayweather.
The first lady of sports, and also her birthday was that of Andre Dawson, the only man in history of baseball who retired. He had over 300 home runs and 300 stolen bases along with Willie Mays. Howard, your thoughts on this fight?
I think Lara is a better fighter. I think he hits hard, he's faster. I mean, you know, the other kid is all right, but Lara is more of a technician than the other kid. He thinks more. He's a pure boxer. And he's got Ronnie Shields in his corner that taught him a few things. So, I mean, you know, I like Lara in the fight. I think Carmelo, I think she took this fight a little too fast. This is one time I'm going to say that a guy should have waited a little bit more before he jumped on this kind of fighter. Especially a guy that's hungry, and Lara needs this kind of victory to get his name out there.
Yeah.
And so, I always say you never duck nobody, but
exactly.
I think my man should have ducked this one.
We always talk about the fundamentals and having a sound boxing background with fundamentals. And you know what? The Cubans, bro. The Cubans got great fundamentals, man. These guys.
The two things. Ronnie Shields said, first of all, that Alvarez had been ducking him. Lara bounced out of a fight to get this fight to make sure that the fight happened. So Alvarez has been ducking him to a point that there were no other options. Seaways, before you run
right,
out of this. Hold on. Seaways, what's your thoughts? Who do you like in Lara and Alvarez tomorrow?
I think ultimately Alvarez is going to lose. I don't think he's going to get knocked out, but it's going to be a pretty decent fight.
Thanks,
I think ultimately he's going to lose. Majority decision. So it's going to be worth the money. I say it's going to be worth the money.
But the Redskins are seen as a team that's going to win that division. I said I felt that Manning last year was 100%. Jerry Reese, our friend there, Dusty, and the great GM and VP of the Giants, feels that a healthy Manning is going to prove that last year was a fluke. Wings.
He has that foot surgery.
Different
things like that. It's obviously that the Giants beefed up, offensive line. They put a couple of good defensive players in there.
Exactly.
They lost a lot of veterans last year in free agency and different things like that. I'm still going with the RG3 looking very well. They expect him to come back 100%. I think that the Redskins are going to be the team to beat in the NFC.
How much of the recuperation of RG3 is also a psychological and physical one with Shanahan gone? I mean, that's the rumor. Shanahan shouldn't have played him, didn't get along with Shanahan. How much of the absence of Shanahan is going to be not only for RG3, but for the whole Redskins team and organization?
I think it's a dual sword. RG3 needed to mature as well because he's bringing his father into the locker room. There's a lot of dissension there between RG3 and the coach, Shanahan. He had his son there as the offensive coordinator. So there's a lot of stuff that was going on that was, kind of taking the focus off football. You had that with his health issues and the psychological damage that was done with him being played out there under those circumstances, being injured. I think this is the year to watch. But closely behind, you're gonna have to watch Philadelphia as well.
Exactly.
It's going to be a battle there, but I think ultimately...
Did he just say Philadelphia?
He's tired. He's tired. He's trying to divert the attention away from the Jets.
No, but you see that.
Sanchez is on there. That's why, Doc.
He's now.
His boy Sanchez is on there. That's why he said he's Philly.
Adrian, he meant we got to watch the Philadelphia Flyers, not the Philadelphia Eagles.
Remember the Jets end out the preseason in Philadelphia, so we'll see. I think Sanchez needed a change anyway. I mean, they didn't do anything good for him as far as development. And also,
right.
Pete Carroll said he should have stayed another year in USC. So
right.
when he did come out early, he came out.
But how could you be supporting him? See, he's the Bucs fumble.
I still think Sanchez is – I don't know if he's going to ever be a great quarterback. Peyton Manning, that level. I don't think he'll ever be that level.
No, he won't.
He went from a mediocre division to probably the toughest division other than the NFC West, in the NFC East. I mean, you got some tough teams there. You got the Dallas, who really haven't been too much of a threat in the postseason or even making it to the postseason, but he's in a tough division as well. But we'll see
here's the thing, though, Wings. Does he have the thing that you talked about, SID Friday, happy birthday, Lady A, happy birthday, Andre Dawson, also Barry Bonds, remember
happy
Arthur Ashe and
C-Wings.
C-Wings, that's right. C-Wings' birthday. In fact, C-Wings
happy
also our good friend, Rubia, over in Brazil, also Larry Harsey. But the thing is, what you talked about, and everybody talked about, was he had the personnel around him in the inception of his maiden years. Does he have the personnel around him is one question, Wings. And number two, when he gets the opportunity? I mean, this guy here is the guy that supposedly moved Vic out. This is their starting quarterback. This is their main guy. Will he get the opportunity to showcase whatever abilities he still has? And is the personnel there that will allow him to shine, Wings?
I think so. I mean, Philadelphia has a solid offense. They have for the past two and a half, three years. I think he will get a chance. Not to say you want the starting quarterback to get hurt, but in the NFL, listen, anything's possible. You have training camp about to start in the next couple of weeks, and that's just as tough as playing in the regular season. Guys get hurt. They tear their ACLs, MCLs, broken legs. So anything can
dehydrated,
happen.
Get dehydrated.
I think you'll see Sanchez play this year. Yeah. One or two games. I think you'll see him. He'll go out there.
Yeah.
Were you surprised that he went to Philly? I was thinking, for all due intents and purposes, Doc Stanley, SID Friday with the crew here, the posse, the First Lady, Lady A, H. Rat Brown, Dusty Lowe, Double Bow, Harold Cincinnati, C-Wings, Jumpshot, Jonesy, the Hoopster, Nate B. Berger will be joining us later. I thought, for all intents and purposes, he'd be better going Midwest, back up in Seattle. I thought he was going to hook up with Cal, or go back West Coast. I don't see the East Coast being a fit for him. And you're the guru, you're the expert in this thing. You say, maybe he can thrive in Philly. But, I mean, I thought Vic and the quarterback they have there was a better 1-2 punch than Sanchez and the number one starting quarterback there. But I mean, you got a crystal ball there. You see him thrive. It's a tough division. The Giants are going to be tough on him. DeSean Jackson is gone. I mean, what do they have offensively? I mean, Vic is gone. Jackson's gone. Is this system conducive to not only shining for Sanchez? Can Sanchez grasp the system, Wings?
I think so. And I'm with you, Doc. I expect to go to the Raiders with the offense. But I think he did a lot of work in the offseason. He's looking to redeem himself. And I still have faith in him that he has the ability to play at a higher level in the NFL. I don't think to a great level at this point. But he needed to start over, and what a better place to put him to go, because Sanchez was always, and Lady A knows, because she always laughed when he threw the interception and jumping out of a seat, but what better division than to prove yourself than one of the toughest divisions in football? If you got it,
absolutely.
Show it, put it on display, and let's see what you have. This is his year. I think if he gets the opportunity and he excels, then he can be on the road to redemption. If he flops and plays like he did on the Jets or even worse, he's done.
Yeah.
He's going to be that ultimate backup quarterback.
Yeah.
That may bounce around to another one or two teams before his career is over.
You know what, guys? I don't know. Here's a point that I got to throw out there since we're talking about Sanchez.
Sure.
These guys were going to give him the franchise tag. I mean, how much of a bum did he end up being? Like these guys, no matter what happened, they were like, oh, no, he's still a rookie. Give him time. He'll develop. Oh, but he ended up being a bust. Like, I remember seeing what he's telling me. They're talking about giving him the franchise tag. I was like, what? Like, dude, come on. Like, already 5-6 years into it, like, franchise tag. And we're just... If all else fails, just remember what they think the team Tebow. Like, oh, suck way down. We're going to put you, you're going to do the run the Wildcat and all this stuff. You and I talk about it, man. They did that guy wrong, man.
He can't throw. His throwing form, listen, and I know Hoosters wants to jump in there and say he beat the Steelers. Listen,
got that right.
Anybody could beat. Beating any given Sunday in the National Football League
Wayne, I'm coming at you, Wayne. I'm coming at you
with
Joe Klucko told me. Yeah, but yeah, you get that. And Rooney,
I said he's not going to do well in the NFL.
I have no problem with that. You are the resident genius, no question. But the point is, when it came down to the fact that we were out of it, and we had 3 games left to go, and this guy's
exactly.
been the backup quarterback all year, and he's been wildcatting, punting and everything, and you said, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going with the third-string quarterback. Whoa. Okay, you said he – and this is what Rooney said was he show me he can't play, and you had the chance to do it, and you still do it. He earned
but
the
we
right
say that
to
as
fail.
Analysts. But when you have
yeah, but still,
listen,
but Rooney,
we say that,
you
wait, hold on,
Rooney,
that makes sense.
I mean, not Rooney,
that makes sense.
Sorry. But Wayne, he earned the right to go. How do you jump from the guy from
but
second?
You don't
so,
earn
I mean,
the right in the National Football League. And, listen, you
got
to look at
Wayne,
the. Listen, you have to look at the bigger
Wayne,
picture. If you have ownership,
the third-string quarterback could do the job. Why won't you play him then? If you thought this third-string guy, organizational decision,
and we don't know.
Well,
that could be coming from the top. That listen,
yeah, but,
don't put him out there.
What I'm saying is, okay, visually it was messed up, and as me as a Giants fan and the Jets fan, it's the only team me and my late father agreed on. Love Joe and them. I lost a lot of feelings and respect for them. But you just don't do another person like that.
No, nope.
You just don't.
But if you look at the Jets organization.
Right.
They did it with Bunnell, too. They could have put Bunnell out there a couple of plays, more plays when Sanchez was struggling. They never brought him out there. Brett Favre did it, and he was an older quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you look at the pattern, why should you be surprised that they didn't put Sanchez
I think we're failing to look at the point. The point is you tell a man, suck weight, you tell him, to go and do everything. He does everything he's supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
You tell him the chance is coming, and then when the chance comes, Lady A, hold on, Lady A. Lady A, you tell him the chance is coming, and when the chance comes, you take it away from him.
But I still don't think that you are automatically given the right to play because you're on the roster. There are plenty of guys on the roster in the depth chart that don't get a chance to play that may be better than
the
starters.
My premise is this.
I think they made the right decision.
You tell a guy to go out and do this and do that, and he does it, right? He abides by everything you tell him to. Obviously, Sanchez is throwing interception after interception, throwing people passes to their helmets, doing butt fumbles. Why can't you, third down, put the man in, give him a chance? Why do you want to continue to stay with this guy? And he's 5-10 interceptions, okay, and you stay with the guy. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. You lose
I just think that he didn't fit the system. He didn't fit the system. They didn't prepare him properly. But I don't think that he was a great enough. I don't think he was a great pattern. But I think the Jets made the right decision.
I think they're afraid that he would have took him to the playoffs.
Nah, he wouldn't have taken him to the playoffs. I saw him. Listen, I saw him in training camp, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I thought they should have never signed him. I thought it was a bad mistake. And when you have a coach like Belichick up in New England, they cut him. He couldn't do anything with him. It just validates my point that the guy is not a quarterback in the NFL. He's not a NFL quarterback. I said that when I saw him in the Senior Bowl. I followed him throughout his career in Florida. And I said, this guy, if he does make it there, he's not going to last as a quarterback. And having to see him close up in training camp, I said, I'm not taking away anything of his drive, his heart, his work ethic, but the guy is not an NFL-type quarterback. He's
okay,
not.
Okay, but my point is this. I understand what you're saying, but my point is this.
They made the right decision.
Doc, listen to me.
And not playing.
You're losing by 20 points. Sanchez is doing nothing. It's the third quarter. You're going to freaking keep Sanchez in the game instead of giving this guy a chance?
If you have the ownership team, play him. If you're the owner and you're saying play this guy, don't put him in. I want Sanchez out there. We're paying him all this money. You're gonna put him out there. You're gonna keep Sanchez out there. Is it the wrong decision? Maybe from that aspect, but when you got the owner, which I'm assuming that somebody high up said keep Sanchez out there. We paying him this money. Play him. Keep Sanchez out there. Is it the right decision? I have to agree with you guys. Maybe you want to go to the second string quarterback, even first string quarterback, but that's just not the way the National Football League is set up. Remember, you could be cut at any time. You have no right to be out there on the field unless they put you out there. Me personally, I don't think they should even sign him. I don't. I just don't. His throwing, I don't know if it's out of habit, if he can break that habit. I agree with you guys that they did him wrong by bringing him there and doing that, but I also agree with the Jets by not putting him out. He just wasn't – it would have been a spectacle. It would have been worse than Sanchez in this system that they have. I just don't think that he fit. And it seemed that they struggled to try to fit him in there, and it wasn't working, and rather than just write that off as a loss, they kind of held it back. Kept them on the roster, never really used them. It just wasn't working. And then with the decline of the talent around them, around the team, it would have been a disaster. It would have been a disaster. But once again, happy birthday, Doc. Happy birthday, Lady A. Happy birthday, Michael Vick, June 26th. Happy birthday, Larry Hardesty. And once again, congratulations to Kim. Kimberly Martin and her new husband, Jeff Roberts, who's the Jets beat writer for New York Newsday, one of our fellow media personnel that covers the Jets. Just wanted to congratulate them on their new marriage, July 3rd. I'm going to say goodnight to the panel and to our listeners out there. Thank you, Doc, for putting the family together on a nice Friday evening, and thank you out there to our listeners for your support.
On LeBron James night.
Oh, also, before I go, LeBron James is an executive producer, one of the executive producers for a show on the Stars Channel based loosely on his life. I think it's called Survivor, about a football player that came out of poverty and became an instant millionaire after signing a contract with a professional basketball team in the NBA, which is set to come out sometime in October. I think it's October 4th. So that's something to watch out there for our listeners to keep track of that. I think his star in Usher, he's going to be the leading role. Katrina Arnold for Martin and Everybody Hates Chris. So that should be coming out this fall.
Okay, good night.
Hey, Roots, you there?
Still here.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. What are they going to do with Bosch?
Bosch re-signed with the Heat for 5 years, $118 million.
What about Wade?
Wade's still a free agent.
Oh, so he's not staying with the Heat just yet? They don't know?
They don't know yet.
Oh.
So look like Ray Allen and Mike Miller might be joining LeBron in Cleveland.
Really?
Mm.
Oh. Yep. What about that kid Ewing? He's still in Cleveland?
Yeah, he's still there. He's re-signed. Oh.
Irving? What's his name? Irving? Or
Kyrie. Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving. He re-signed.
Max contract.
He re-signed.
Oh, okay. So he's going to have a little squad at least.
And plus,
what about that kid Love? That kid Love.
Yeah, they try to get him now. They try to get him now. And Jeremy Lin got traded. He went to the Lakers.
Really?
Yeah, Jeremy Lin.
So Houston doesn't have a point guard now.
Nope. They thought they were going to get Bosch. Now they got to re-sign this guy back. Parsons, he signed an offer sheet with the Mavericks.
That guy Harden is coming back?
Who?
That guy Harden, his name? Harden with the beard? The guy with the beard, what's his name?
Yeah, he's
James
still there.
Harden,
he ain't going nowhere. It's crazy. Everybody's waiting for Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking he'll go to Houston, but
yeah.
Lin's gone. I don't know, because him and Lin used to play together on the Knicks.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
man, going
happened
to the Lakers, man. There's going to be a lot of Koreans out there in that stadium.
What about that guy Gasol? Gasol, he's back with the Lakers? Or
no, he's a free agent. He looked like the Spurs or the Knicks or Oklahoma
City. You know
what?
The Spurs would be good for him, man, because remember how Robinson was with
the Twin Towers?
That might be good for him, the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, OKC would be a good fit for him, too.
You know, Durant is almost up with his thing, too, right?
Yep. He's going to leave OKC. He's going to be leaving. That's a small market city, so he's going to be out of there.
Mm.
And I think Westbrook might be leaving, too. He might want to go back home to L.A. He's from Los Angeles.
Wow.
He went to UCLA.
A lot of
teams
in the NBA, man.
Yeah, you're going to need a program with all these guys, different uniforms.
I don't know.
Mike Woodson's going to be assistant coach with Doc Rivers at the Clippers.
Really?
And then Paul Westphal's going to be assistant coach of Lionel Hollins in Brooklyn. I remember you remember that name. Jonesy, you remember that name?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah,
Very good choice.
Don't forget, Lionel Hollins was be assistant with him in Phoenix.
Yes. Yep.
Mm.
Good choice. Welcome to Brooklyn, Lionel. Welcome to Brooklyn.
Lady, are you still with us or she left?
Yeah, she's still
here.
She's still here.
Okay, yeah, good. We got to talk boxing with you. I think what people are forgetting here is that with LeBron James leaving the Heat is out of the Heat. And everybody has a shot. You take that team that the Knicks had last year with Jason Kidd, those guys. That team could have won the division with LeBron James gone now. And still if and buts about that. You know, so Dusty left us. Okay, Harold too. Lady A, with the fights coming on, we got two boxing guys, basketball guys. Let's go through it. Laura Alvarez tomorrow. I think Harold hit a tremendous point. Technically, Laura is I think he's better skilled wise, and being a southpaw is advantageous.
No question. I mean we were just talking before about how he really gets Trout. And also another point just to throw out for fans to pay attention to is that who has Alvarez really fought? That has been, I mean, you look at Mosley was washed up when he fought him and beat him. You know, Mayweather was a gift from God for him to fight, and he lost that fight, his first fight. You know, and even Oscar De La Hoya said he didn't feel that Lara was a good fight for him. But Alvarez is demanding to fight the best, which I just said earlier, you have to give him credit for stepping in the plate and saying, listen, this is the guy I want to fight. you know, okay, argument could be made that.
But for Adrian, how much was that a situation? Because talking to Ronnie Shields, you know, he's been ducking. How much was that? Not so much the guy he wanted to fight, but the guy that he couldn't avoid. I mean, is this really the guy he wanted to fight, or the guy he couldn't avoid?
Right. I mean, Lara basically went to the post-fight press conference with him and Angulo and called him out and was like, listen, because we even had it on our show, we even mentioned it when we had Serrano on, Mario, and we were like, listen, how come isn't he fighting Lara? How come he isn't fighting Lara, excuse me? And he was like, you know, and he was like, listen, Lara should have been the next guy he actually fought, and instead he fought Angulo. So, you know, but you have to give at least Alvarez credit for not ducking him again, even though he was calling him out. You know, and saying, listen, you know, I want to fight this guy. I want to fight the best. So, you know, give him credit for that. You know, my thing is though, you know, you have in these divisions at 147, 154, and 160, you're starting to see some very, very good fights. You know, we talked about Cotto, Doc. You know, you and I talked about Cotto at 160 now, you know, I told you basically, that's great, good. Let him fight Triple G. Let him fight Quillen. Let him fight Kid Chocolate at 160. You know, let's see what he brings at 160 now. At 160, what's Cotto going to do at 160? Let's face it, Doc, you and I agree that him fighting Martinez was not at his best. You know, Cotto fighting Martinez, when he fought Martinez, he wasn't at his best. You know, you saw in the early rounds how Martinez's knees were. And he really wasn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, what has happened now, we also want to always salute our number one listener, Rosie, from Volta Hedonia, Brazil. I mean, what has happened, and you did it here as we did, and it's been our most popular show, our live show from São Paulo, Brazil, with you and Dusty courtside at the Algeria fight. And now it's obvious, and I've said this before, Adrian, that you salute Cotto and his camp and Freddie Roach, not so much for their boxing intellect, it's for their medical intellect, that they were able to detect and deceive us that this guy was not physically able to fight. And I think a lot of that is the reason why they fought him. They knew he was damaged goods. I mean, he was worse off than Cotto. Me and Dusty talked about it. I said, Dusty, you're talking about how good he looked. Is it the last time he fought the Madison Square Garden? Beat him from pillar to post. So, I mean, I think we should.
Yeah, but you know what, Doc? I mean, if I could just interject the point, and nothing against Cotto, because I've admired him throughout his career, but my thing is also, which is a relative point, is he is not the same fighter, you know, and I think that Roach has been able to change and add more to his fight game to the point that doing those things that Emmanuel Stewart wanted to do for the limited amount of time that he was with him but could not do, which is have him go back to those things that made him the real fighter that he was.
Adrian, why would he not? Well, Manny only had him for one fight, Emmanuel.
Here's the thing.
Cotto. I'm saying, why is he doing what Freddie Roach told him to do, and he would not do what Emmanuel Stewart told him to do?
You know, I look at it like this. I think that Roach has been able to change his fight game to try to bring out those things that, at the early part of Cotto's career, made him shine the way he did, and that is getting him back to using that left hook to the body that made him such a great puncher. The left hook, the punches that broke Paulie Maldonado's jaw and broke his shoulder when he fought him. The fight, you know, the speed developing, using some of the speed and the feints that he used against a guy like Sugar Shane Mosley and Zab Judah when he fought them. You know, just bringing out, going back to those fundamentals that made him the sound fighter that he was back. So, you know, when you take time to look at the Delvin Rodriguez fight in Puerto Rico when he fought him, you know, which didn't really go that long, that fight, you know, and showing him, you know, being able to break down the fighter and use the ring and use those techniques that he used early on in his fight game to bring out what he is now. Now, I'm not taking away the win that he had away from Martinez in any way, shape, or form. You know, I see that Freddie's been able to develop him in a lot of ways and Manny couldn't. But, you know, at the same time, Martinez was not the fighter that he was 3-4 fights ago, you know, because the age is set in and the injuries have plagued him. So, again, I'm not taking anything away from Cotto, but
I want to see him.
Adrian,
you know, we saw that and we didn't see it. We saw the draw in Argentina. We saw the Chavez knock him down in the last round. I said, well, hey, you know what? It's the last round. He boxed him the whole 12 rounds.
Well,
you know,
round, let's also add in there, before you go any further, let's add in there, that he also ripped and teared both his knees. And he had knee injuries. So that's also a thing you got to look at, too. Hey, I don't know about anybody else trying to move around with messed up knees, but let me tell you something. Moving laterally in the ring, if you have – and, you know, I'm hypothetically speaking, if you have a medial collateral tear and you're trying to move laterally, you're not going to be the same athlete in the ring.
You know,
and the guys on the other end, Booster and Jones, you tell you, you
this is
why
you lose this sport
in
depth.
You're not the same athlete.
This is why you listen to all of that, LA, because, you know, she's beautiful, she's brainy, she is the most knowledgeable woman about the sweet science on earth. In her generation, when you're using sports in depth, when you hear the hoopster, when you hear jump shot, Harold, when you hear Lady A, okay, when you hear Nate B. Berger, Dusty, you're hearing the very best and people who know what they're talking about beyond what you can comprehend. And just when you hear the little things she said, okay, now understand that you put high octane gas in your Jaguar. But it can't do certain things that a Maserati can do, even though the Maserati has got regular gas. Lady A, take it away, girl. Happy birthday, woman. Keep it going. Keep it flowing, girl. Keep it flowing.
Well, all I'm saying is, you know, I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I know the full extent of what his knee injuries was, but Dusty and I were talking about it. It's like if you were to have a media collateral tear, and the guys Jonesy and Hoopster will tell you, there's guys that, it takes him a while. Look at Rose on the Bulls. You know, he had messed up knees. You're not the same trying to move around the court or move around a ring when your knees are messed up. So for you to turn around and say in the 12th round, he got knocked down twice. Well, again, if you injure your knees and you're trying to fight somebody with messed up knees, you're not the same fighter trying to utilize the ring and move around the ring. So, you know, he beat the he beat up Chavez. For every one punch Chavez was throwing, he was throwing four or five punches, you know. To me, he won that fight. So anybody that says, oh, Chavez, who to me, he doesn't take the sport seriously, Doc, you know that. He's out of shape. Sometimes he shows up to fights. He doesn't make weight. You know, I think also he's also been tested a few times after fights. You know, he had, like, marijuana or he had issues too, right, Doc, with DWI or something like that? I don't know. But,
right.
You know, the guy doesn't have the discipline that his father had. You know, when it came to boxing. But, again, you know, take away the Chavez fight now. Look at the Macklin fight. Look at the fight he had in Argentina. I mean, these are guys that he was able to break down and beat with injuries. So for you to tell me that now Martinez stepped in the ring with Cotto and he had messed up knees, you know what? I'll take it to you. I'll just tell you, like Dusty and I had said before, the guy that we know fighting with injuries, okay, was not the same guy now at 40 years old trying to step in the ring with Cotto. I mean, obviously, he had an issue. When you look at him, and I looked at the fight a couple of times already, he wasn't steady. He wasn't steady on his knees. He wasn't steady standing up. You know, so obviously, he tried to do the best he could. They called the fight. Cotto's the winner. Nothing against Cotto. Like I said, you know, he just picked the guy to fight at the right time, you know. But I saw a lot of changes to Cotto's fight game. You know what? I just think that he was a way better fighter at 147. Soon we'll argue. I don't know, maybe 154. My thing is, at 147, I saw him as a better fighter. Then I saw him at 154 and now at 160. That's just me.
I mean, Junebug said the same thing. Gilberto Ortiz, Latin side of Brooklyn boxes, said 147 was he was at his zenith talent-wise. And he felt,
so
and he
I
felt
agree
that
with him on that.
That.
I agree with him.
And that also was the area where the best fighters were. Before we move, now, Jump Shot, you and Hoopsie here, as we move on, we got Laura and Alvarez. Mayweather has decided to do the rematch with Madonna.
I'm telling you right now, Doc, before you go any further, if I could jump in, Mayweather's gonna win that fight.
Oh, no, I mean, Jump Shot, you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. I agree, too. Definitely.
You know why, Doc? Because Madonna had the chance the first fight. Now Mayweather already is ready to make the adjustment. This second fight, and you know who told me that same thing? Al Bernstein told me the same exact thing at the Boxing Hall of Fame when I spoke to him. I said, do you think, Al, that Madonna and Mayweather, the second time around, is going to be the same fight? He said, absolutely not. I said, I agree with you. He's not going to be the same fight, and Mayweather's going to win this fight. I'm just going to tell you right now.
Hmm.
All right. What makes champions, Doc? You and I say it all the time. The way that they make the adjustments, and that's Mayweather.
Well,
Mayweather can make adjustments.
Black Potation, Green Brother always says, two men of champions. What he does after loss, what he does after knockdown. Mayweather hasn't lost, and I mean, it's no question. I mean, the thing too, we like here what Mayweather is doing. SID Friday, the first lady of SID Sports, and the lady who brings you to Latin Side. From the boxing way with Lady A, the birthday lady, too, just yesterday with Andre the Hawk Dawson. The third of this month was our own Cincinnati Sea Wings. And we also have Larry Hardesty on the second. And Arthur Ashe has a birthday this month. Barry Bonds has a birthday this month. A-Rod has a birthday this month. And Satchel Paige, the seventh of this month, the great Satchel Paige. I think it's obvious. And what I like what Mayweather is doing here, and what I better do to be safe, make sure we can do Sports and SID Friday, mic on, lights out. Let's let Marvin Gaye do a quick move. We come right back. But what I like what Mayweather is doing, too, now, Lady A, and the Hoopsa and Jump Shot, that he's given us a nice undercard. We've got Matumse on this card. We've also got Broner. So, people are feeling they're getting some money for their pay-per-view money. Gentlemen and First Lady, don't anybody move. Marvin Gaye had this to say, so if I come out, they cut us off, we'll already be straight. Sports in that Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Network. And Marvin Gaye takes us into my call life's
question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time. When the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No, bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try
to save a world?
To save a world
that's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
live. Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame? We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life. But let's live, everybody.
Live life. for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
What the world needs now is love. Love that. Lady A and gentlemen, let's get back to it. We got what I like these last two fights. This was both Madonna fights. Mayweather has gave us a nice undercard. We have this again. The thing I talked about earlier with Junebug, and I'm pretty sure you and the Hoopster and Jumpshot agree too. You would rather see Broner fight Matusse, but it seems like Broner is avoiding a quality fighter after the exposure of both against Madonna and Paulie Malignaggi. I think it's just a matter of time before he's going to get beat again. But he does bring a certain air of people want to come see him get beat, Lady A.
You know, I think that with Broner, we said before, look at the quality of fighters he's fought. And Paulie Malignaggi has alluded to it often about, you know, the quality of fighters that he's fought. You get a guy like Maidana in there at 147. He went running down to 140 after Maidana beat him. And I'm eager to see at 140 now, who's he going to fight? I would love to see him fight a Brandon Rios at 140, you know, even though Brandon went up to 147 to fight Pacquiao. I'd love to see him fight Brandon Rios. I'd love to see him fight at 140, Ruslan Porodnikov. I'd love to see him fight Matisse. I'd love to see him fight Danny Garcia. And the list goes on and on. I'd like to see
this fight here, and Jump Shot and Wing, Jump Shot and Hoopsa, I think it becomes unavoidable if Matusse wins and Broner wins, it becomes the fight that has to be made and becomes part of the next Mayweather fight. Jeff, what do you think?
Well, you mean as an undercard? Because
undercard, yeah. Well, I see that right now that Mayweather is constantly bringing him along, so it seems to me that it's going to be hold on.
If he fights Matisse, it's going to be another Maidana fight. I guarantee you know what? The only reason why he probably won't fight Porodnikov at 140 is because he's a top-ranked fighter. But I'd be dying. I'd pay everything in the world to see him fight Ruslan Porodnikov. And I'd love to see the end result be the same as him fighting Maidana. Because
here's a funny thing, too. Hold a minute, because Jump Shot and Hoopsa, is Melo coming back? And if he is coming back, why is he taking so long to make up his mind? Okay, first of all, just a yes or no. Jump Shot, is he coming back to the Knicks?
Yes.
I hope so. You come back to the Knicks.
Yes.
Don't look like it. It's taking a long time. No.
Okay. Okay. That's great. So what you're saying, Hoopsa, is that this taking of a long time to make a decision is validating that he's not coming back. What you're saying, Jump Shot, that he is coming back, and you feel even more so now with James saying he's going to Cleveland? Jump Shot, you started off for me.
I think there's no greater place to win a championship than in New York. And if he can bring that after 40 years, if he can lead the charge to bringing a championship back here to New York, that will solidify his legacy.
Yeah, okay.
And in addition to that, he has 129 million reasons to do so.
Hoopsa? You say he ain't coming back?
It doesn't look like it. He's being quiet. And plus, he often see Phil Jackson's on the panic mode. He had to go all the way to Los Angeles to meet him. Now he offered him $129 million. And then Phil Jackson's the one to tell him to take a pay cut. Now all of a sudden, now he's going to give him $129 million. Because now the Bulls are a threat, and now the Lakers are a threat.
Yeah,
so, well, we're going to see what happens. He ain't saying nothing, so it doesn't look good right now. I'll be surprised. I hope he does go back to New York, but it doesn't look good right now. Because he should have been made the decision already. You know what I mean?
Adrian?
Well, I'm not the basketball expert, but if I had to say, I would tell you I don't think he's coming back. You know why?
Wow.
Doc, you know why I don't think he's coming back, Doc?
Coming back to what?
What's he coming back to? What? He's going to go another year without a team that he knows is going to lead him to the promised land? What is he coming
Jonesy is saying the best offer outside the Knicks is $90 million. We're talking $129 million. We're talking $39 million more.
Yeah, but I remember
Joe Frazier said. Joe Frazier said.
My philosophy is this: he's a guy. Huh? He's a guy who pretty much came out around the same time as a guy like LeBron. LeBron has 3 rings. What does Melo have? You understand? So my thing is, if he goes to a team. If he could go to a team that's going to give him a decent amount of money and a team that he could get a ring from, why would he say no to that?
I don't know, Hoopsa.
Am I wrong, Hoopsa, or what?
Not wrong. Listen, go ahead, continue. Go ahead, lady.
One of the challenges, when you look at the Spurs who won this year and look at champions, you know, this thing where this orchestration of putting together players to win a championship is a misnomer. These things have to be earned and won on the court. There's a reason why. Okay, yeah, it worked. I guess you could say it worked to a certain degree when Bosch, Wade, and James decided to join forces 4 years ago. That's the exception. Championships, when you look back at the Celtics, the Knicks during the 70s, the Lakers, you know, you can try to juggle and put players together all day long. It still has to be earned and won on the court. And you can put Carmelo over here, you can put him over here, you can put him over there. At the end of the day, you know, it has to be the strong defense, right, fundamentally sound, be able to go for the long haul. You look at San Antonio, you see what they did last year, in addition to being motivated from having lost the year before. But this science, this new science where, okay, I'm going to opt out, and you can put me over here with this team, and this is my best chance of winning the championship, you know, it doesn't work for the most part. It may have worked in Miami, but that's an anomaly. Let's not get it twisted. There's still something that has to be worked and earned on the basketball court with the right players and the right coach. And the Celtics are an example of that. The Knicks were an example of that in the 70s. The Bulls were an example of that. The two cornerstones of the Bulls during the 90s were players they drafted, Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, and it didn't happen right away. It took some time.
Yo, both points.
Hello?
Still here.
Hello?
Still here.
What was he saying? Both points
I don't know. He must have got cut off. I don't know. Something happened.
I'll make one more point about the Heat. I mean, that run of four consecutive trips to the finals, you know, it was
championship. He could always sign a contract here with the Knicks, okay, and get traded or play 2 or 3 years, opt out, or wind up going like Gary Payton did, wind up going to Miami Heat and getting the championship. Alonzo Mourning wind up going to the Heat as the sub player and getting the championship. That could happen.
You're breaking up, Zach.
How much does New York mean to him? How much does money mean to him? If New York means a lot to him and money means a lot to him, he's here. How much does the championship mean to him? How much does winning mean to him? Then maybe he goes to Chicago. I mean, Chicago could be a spot. I mean, Rose is not the healthiest of people. He's got hurt in back-to-back years. I mean,
right.
Kobe is on the downside of a great career, and is Cosell going to come back? So, in looking at this situation, sometimes the best move made is not to move at all. And in this case,
well, Kobe
he
got some help now, Doc.
He
got Jeremy Lin now, so.
I thought Lin went to Philly.
No, Jeremy Lin got traded to the Lakers.
My good, ladies and gentlemen, you hear it right. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hoops and gentlemen, just right. My man, he was one minute he was in purgatory, the next minute he's back in heaven. Wow. Wow. You know, and as we are battling back in here, Lady A, let's look at this fight here. We're talking about, okay, Mayweather wins this fight. We like Laura. We got two other fights coming up. We got Triple G against Gale. I think it was no question. It's Triple G. And we've got something that I heard is on the horizon, and it's that Algeria, who shocked you and a host of other people outside of his family, probably some of those members at the Barclays Center, they're talking Lady A, Algeria and Pacquiao.
What?
Wow. Huh?
But he's going to have to go up. Then he's going to have to go up to 147. Algeria's going to have to go up to 147 to fight Pacquiao. I don't see that. I don't really see that fight.
I heard it's in the works. I heard it's already just about made. It's a no brainer for Algeria. It's more money. Such a popular name, and he can't lose. Let me ask you this.
So why? Okay, so he's gonna have Algeria fight Pacquiao, and then Poroniko fight who? Brandon Rios? Because you know that fight, I'll pay to sit ringside for that fight. Because I'd love to see who the last man standing is gonna be on that fight. The last man standing on that fight.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that fight.
We saw. That Algeria lost the battle, but he won the war, but he still got some battle wounds. There are some people who would like to see that fight again, but the smart move here is go to Pacquiao where one, there's money, two, there's a title, and three, there's a chance of winning, which is going to make his star even brighter. So, I mean, I can understand
but
that.
To go up to 147? He'd have to go up to 147. To fight
that's 7 pounds. You got to figure. He's having to come down to 140. So maybe it's an easier move, 147.
But him getting hit the way he got hit by Peronikov to then fight a Pacquiao at 147. Let me tell you something. Me and Cisco were sitting right there at the press conference in the front row, and let me tell you something. Just that shot that he took from Peronikov, what he did to his eye, think about how many punches he's going to take like that against freaking Pacquiao.
I don't know
if that's going to be the best fight for him to take at 147 and go up in weight, because if he just took that shot against Peronikov and he looked like that at the end of the fight, I hate to see what he's going to look like against Pacquiao. Think about what Pacquiao did to Margarito. And Margarito was almost, oh, my God, what, 20, 10, 20 pounds?
Yeah, but Pacquiao is not that big of a hitter. I mean, I can't envision
what?
Pacquiao hitting. Pacquiao can't hit with the same authority as the Russian guy.
Doc, Pacquiao,
yeah.
Who do you think Paulina Cole spars with? Pacquiao. Paulina Cole spars with Pacquiao.
Oh.
Hello?
Still here. Wow.
Veronica spars with Pacquiao, Doc. Hello?
Call, Greg.
Still here.
Yeah,
Doc, you're fading. I can hardly hear you.
Do I get any numbers or anything for this? No.
Okay, now I hear you. What did you say? Hello?
Oh.
Is it just me, guys, or do you hear him? Hello?
I'm here. You float. I can't see Pacquiao's not the same hitter. Joke shot. He's not
again,
the same hitter. The Russian guy.
So on the court stars with Pacquiao.
I understand that, but what's to say that he's hitting Pacquiao? I mean, you know. And what's this? And you, he's 140, so he doesn't have the power of one. Hey, Pacquiao's never been a hitter, lady. Eh? Never been a hitter. And as bad as he beat up Margarito destroyed him. And Margarito destroyed him.
Margarito and listen. Look, did you see what he did to Cotto? You saw what he did to Margarito. You saw what he did to Margarito. You saw what he did to Cotto.
Yeah,
okay.
Fast forward. Everybody bruises Cotto. Everybody. Paulie Maldonado bruised Cotto.
That wasn't a bruising that he did to Cotto, Doc. That was not a bruising, Poppy. Rewind the tape. Matter of fact, I'll send you the tape and make it easier for you. That was not a bruising that he gave Cotto. Okay?
No. I'm saying Paulie Maldonado. Cotto bruises. I mean, when he came out the ring with Trout, his friends looked like he was fighting Roberto Duran. Come on, he bruises. The guy bruises, but you can't tell me that Pacquiao.
That wasn't a bruising that Pacquiao gave him.
No, but what I'm saying, listen, Cotto bruises. But more importantly, the Margarito-Pacquiao fight, Pacquiao won the war, but he's carrying eternal battle wounds.
Margarito hurt him. A guy like Chris Algieri at 140 is going to fight Pacquiao? What are we talking about here, Doc?
It's a money match. The kid wants to make some money. I'm not saying he's going to beat Pacquiao. I'm not saying he's a hitter. He's not a hitter. But, I mean, what are you going to do? Yeah, you could play three games with the Yankees at Yankee Stadium or go back to the minors for the rest of the season. You're going to Yankee Stadium. You're going to Yankee Stadium. It's that simple. I mean, you can always go back to the minors, but it's obvious. It's a typical Bob Arum fight. Safe, and you keep it in top rank. You know, it's sad and touching how it says, how Arum has systematic. I mean, go back to.
Well, listen. You know, at the press conference, at the post-fight press conference, for the Algeri Peronico, they were kicking that around. But my thing is, so then what do you do with Peronico? I'm telling you right now, and Hoops and I have talked about it, I would love to see Peronico fight Brandon Rios because that fight is going to be in the middle of the ring, and it's going to be a war, and I'll pay to sit ringside at that fight.
Are they both top-ranked guys?
I would love to see that. What?
Are they both top-ranked guys?
They're both top-ranked guys.
Well, it could happen, but then again, let's look at and the Hoops and Jump Shot. Let's look at Bob Arum's track record. Bob, that's a great fight. Will he make it? I don't know, because when he had Wama and Gamboa, he wouldn't make that fight. It's amazing because he had Pacquiao fight everybody damn near in his stable, but he wouldn't make that fight. He wouldn't make that fight. I mean, so what's to say he would make this fight?
Wama's fighting on the undercard of the Alvarez-Lara fight, so I'll wait and see what happens.
But I'm just saying when Gamboa and Wama were hot, when it was a pay-per-view fight and people would have brought Bam Bam wouldn't make the fight. And now I'm just saying, hopefully, he will make Brandon Rios and our Russian partner. But, I mean, Bob has always been great to me. Okay, no problem. Top Rank's been good. I remember the De La Hoya Trinidad fight. I remember, I see DK now. I see Don now. Mr. Don, baby. Hey, he told me. I see down at Pier 17. DK, I gave him everything he wanted. Gave him everything he wanted and told Bob, now understand this, if this is such a good deal, when my man wins, I'm giving you the same deal, and I've never made a rematch. It was only to the credit of the great Oscar De La Hoya, who Oscar tried to make the rematch after they both advanced in age and time, and then Trito couldn't make the weight. But, I mean, Aram has this, lately, I don't know if it's old age or lunacy or Parkinson's. I mean, he has Pacquiao fighting everybody, and he has the guys. I mean, if you're willing to let the top guy fight everybody, why not let other people fight everybody? I'm just saying Algeria is the fight that he has to take, and I don't see Pacquiao administering the same type of beating on him that the Russians put on him.
An interesting point, too, Doc, just to inject into the conversation is, at this juncture, what do you do with guys that actually beat Pacquiao, like Marquez? I mean, he lost to Bradley, but now what do you do with a guy like Marquez? Because Marquez is still out there. Who's Marquez going to fight next? And he's a top-ranked fighter. You understand?
Marquez,
he's at 147. Marquez is at 147.
That's a good question.
What
do you do with Marquez?
Now?
I mean, we know Margarito is done for a whole horde of reasons.
You know? And no one is even mentioning anything about Bradley. You're talking about Bradley a few months ago. What's going on with Bradley? Bradley lost to Pacquiao, so now what's going on with Bradley? Bradley's out of the win
now. You bring another good point up, is that it seems now his ability to discard fighters, really. What was to real quickly, and get the basketball guys. You want to hear Jonesy? What's that?
Well, I got some more news on Paul Gasol. He ran down the two choices, the Spurs or the Bulls.
Oh.
Really?
So he is looking at the Spurs.
Spurs and the Bulls.
I'm telling you, I would love to see him with Tim Duncan, man, the Twin Towers back.
Let me tell you something. He goes there. That's it. Ain't nobody beating the Spurs. I don't care. That's it. That's a wrap. You can forget
about
it.
Well, but I tell you what, if he goes to Chicago, I mean,
that'd be something else, too.
I mean,
he's a team that'd be good choice.
Him and Noah? Dude, him and Noah? Oh, my God.
Yeah, but here's the question.
Choice be good. Spurs or the Bulls, that'd be either good choice.
Well, Jim Chat, is there a cutoff time that Melo has to make a decision? Jump shot. Okay, little jump shot. Okay, because I'm thinking if Cosell would go to the Bulls, that may be another thing swaying him toward Chicago. I mean, as I look around, I was thinking that the Lakers would want to keep Cosell, but now I've got to wonder. Is there a Kobe factor in this? Does Kobe and Cosell don't get along? What's the story? I mean, Kobe talked about it on a show one time, this perception that he doesn't get along with people, and he's aloof, and he says, you know, he wasn't even aware of the so-called perception and vision that's been projected. But, I mean, why would Cosell not want to come back to L.A., Hoopsa?
So before, he ain't liked the way this guy was coaching.
Because
he don't like the son. He don't like the son. One of the two reasons.
Okay.
And plus he ain't like the raised by Tony coach.
Okay, so D'Antoni's gone. Kobe's coming back. Jump shot. What's your thought? I mean, why this all of a sudden disenchantment with the Lakers, jump shot? Oh, okay. Then the jump shot is in the studio. Okay. I guess it's about money. It's about where you think you can win. Especially, you know, we're talking about LeBron. And we understand the biggest reason why he went back to Cleveland was because of what he could do for the community and his surrounding neighborhoods and friends.
Listen, I was with my son tonight, and you know, again, you know, Hoops is a boxing. I mean, I'm the boxing expert. Hoops is a basketball expert. just to inject this in the conversation, he brought something up to me. He was like, Ma, he goes, you know, think about it. Jordan did it and started to do it without any help. Maybe LeBron has the same mentality where he's starting out with a fresh team now where he doesn't really have a supporting cast. And Jordan had to try to do it without until he got Pippen. So now I'm like, I wonder if there's any, you know, if there's any mindset in LeBron's mind that, you know, wait, I did it three times with a supporting cast. Maybe now he wants to go out there and prove that he really is the player that he is. Without such a great supporting cast, you know, and maybe he's trying to prove that he's that player that nobody else thought he was. I mean, when my son said that to me, it kind of stayed in my mind. I was like, wow, maybe that's what LeBron's trying to do now. Like, who's he really got in Cleveland right now other than Irving? Who's he really got, you know?
Yeah, he got a pretty good pieces now. He got some pieces.
He gets Ray Allen,
and Mike Miller, and he get Kevin Love. That'd be something that makes a little noise there. That'd be some nice little pieces.
They got Ray. They had some good players last year. They made some trades. I mean, they were preparing to give him a supporting cast.
They have decent players, Doc. They don't have all-star players like Wade and Bosh. They have decent players. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have that support.
But Adrian, for the last 2 years, the reality of the situation is Wade's been basically decent. I mean, Wade hasn't been. I mean, Wade was Wade. They would have won this year.
Injuries, Doc. I mean, his knees. That's you know, because of his knees.
Okay.
You know, think about it. You know, just because of his knees. I was just a thought. My son told me that, and that kind of made me think.
Are
you hearing that? Are you feeling that? Hoops? Are you feeling that kind of like? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm feeling that. And but don't forget, Jordan never left the Bulls.
Right.
He stood there till he won.
Right.
Not like I'm going here, I'm going to this team, I'm going here. He stayed there for eight years.
Hold on. Back up. I mean, Jordan had no choice. Where was Jordan going to go?
He did not leave. He stuck it out.
Where was he
going
to go?
That's what I'm saying.
But you acting like he had a choice. I mean, there was some rumors about maybe coming to
this. He didn't leave.
You're saying LeBron left?
Well, he have no help. He didn't give him no help, so he left.
If there were two things too, from a financial standpoint of view,
and
Mike
then the owner with that nasty letter, you know, he left.
Was LeBron
going to go early on? Was he going to go to freaking New York and pay the taxes that we all pay, like monster taxes here? He was like, yo, forget this. I'm going to go to Sun in the Fun and go to Miami. I don't have to pay as much taxes here either.
Yeah, Adrian, tremendous point. And people forget for the longest time that was the stickler and the problem for major fights, only the likes of Ali and Joe Frazier and those guys could come here because of the tax structure. I guess, you know, I'm going to make $5 million, and when New York City gets through with me, I'm down to, what, $2.5 million? Stuff
exactly.
Like that. I mean, you're right. Tax structure-wise. Listen.
Hands down, and you guys can look this up, and I know this for a fact. New York is one of the top 5 states in the whole entire United States for taxes, okay?
Yep.
In the whole entire United States, the United States is the top 5. Basically, we support the whole entire country with our taxes and the money that we're paying.
And it's sad that Washington shows us no sympathy, no gratitude, and we're laughing at anything.
Absolutely not. When you look at your paycheck, I know guys, Doc, that look at their paycheck and stare at it. And guys are like, keep looking because you're not going to change it. Because I have your money going right to them. Think about it.
Yeah.
Half the money we make goes, I feel like I work 1 week for the city and the state and federal and 1 week for myself. Because you look at that paycheck, you're looking at it like, damn, where are my money?
Wow, listen to this. I got an update, Doc. This is going to shock you.
Okay.
Vince Carter just signed with the Grizzlies. 3 years, $12
million. Who?
Vince Carter signed with the Grizzlies.
3 years?
Yep,
$12 million. Wow.
Look how you're gonna have a program with different uniforms.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
3 years with the Grizzlies.
You know, and then that's a 3 years, $12 million. I remember when Dr. J signed that $6 million contract back in 76. What an awesome amount of money that was. $6 million.
My man Vince Carter, former
And also
Brooklyn
the listeners
man.
Out there with Bosch, he signed for 5 years, $118 million with the Heat for 5 years.
Who?
But, you know, what,
Chris
Bosch. You know
Chris Bosch, yep. And also, more bad news. Say that again, Doc.
I mean, where are they getting this money from? I mean, Chris Bosh, 118. I mean, that's more money than Larry Bird, Dr. J, Michael Jordan. No, that's more money than Bird,
and LeBron
Magic.
James. And LeBron James.
118. I mean, they act like he's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yo,
and
Doc,
also,
baseball,
and, Lamar Odom got
salary.
Cut from the Knicks, Doc.
What's that?
Lamar Odom got cut from the Knicks.
Lamar got cut from the Knicks?
They cut him. Yep.
Fourth and
that's
Death
right,
Friday.
Folks, that's why you get it first from Sports and Death, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I'm here to do my job. Make sure you hear it all on this show.
Hey, SID, late night where you get it last, first, and right.
Yo, y'all need to rewind. You said $118 million. That's a baseball contract right there.
5 years.
Yeah.
Straight
I wonder what Dwayne's going to get. I wonder what Dwayne's going to get now.
But see, my thing is, Jump Shot, you with us? Jump Shot must have went to the studio. I mean, yeah, you got to wonder what Wade's going to get, but really, wow. I mean, you know,
how about
how much
they in the salary cap, they probably going to wait till next year to sign players. That's a hit to salary cap.
Yeah.
That's a big hit.
Well, at the rate they're going, listen, they can't sign nobody next year. They keep paying out $118 million.
That's crazy money. You said for 3 years? Who said for three years or five years?
5 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Chris.
Okay, 5 years.
Here's the funny thing. He supposed to went to Houston. And they traded Jeremy Lin to open up more money for Bosch. But Dallas signed this guy, Parsons, to an offer sheet. So you know Houston going to want him back. So that's why Bosch decided to stay with the Heat. Because they're offering $88 million.
I think there's still talk of the possibility of Melo going to Houston. I don't know what kind of money.
No, that's out. He went to visit. No. Between the Bulls and the Knicks. That's it. That's it.
Okay.
That's the two choices. And then Paul Gasol's the same. But it's the Spurs and the Bulls. That's his two final choices. He said they'll probably make decisions by Tuesday or Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say. They probably make their picks by Thursday.
Okay, what's your feeling on where he's going to go then, Hoopsa?
Who's that? Paul Gasol?
Yeah.
Either team would be a good choice for him. Either one would be good. Because he goes to the Spurs,
Hold on, before you go into your crystal ball, was you said LeBron was going to go back. Ladies and gentlemen, don't say another word. Don't move another feather because the Hoopster is about to give you the 411. Jump Shot for the top of the key. Okay, Hoopsa, what's going to happen? Where's Gasol going?
Paul Gasol. Mm. That's tough. Good. I'd say probably San Antonio. Or the Bulls. Either team would be a good pick for him. But I remember a long time ago on the show, I was saying LeBron was going to go back to Cleveland. And all y'all was like, he was crazy. You lost your mind. It looked like a hoop
no,
did it
I,
again.
No.
A lot of people around here shocked. Especially everybody's shocked. Come on.
I think you miscalculated, and the show that they was on that we said you lose your mind, and I just
no,
always
I'm talking
thought
about
that
people
was
out here in my neighborhood losing their mind. They keep asking me why did he go back.
But I'm saying, you even though you predicted it, you didn't like the idea of it happening. I didn't see it being a problem. And I think what happens here at Lady A that he emerged in a great line. Of Marion Boykin, letting the better man emerge in him victorious. Marion B. Boykin, Black Audacious, Brilliant Brother. And Dr. King says, you know, two things that you have to do in life to really make you free. And one is forgive everybody for what they've ever done to you. And two, not to be afraid of death. And LeBron, I mean, and once again, Lady A, Jump Shot, this is a situation not only works better for LeBron. I mean, by the way, I think what we're forgetting here is beyond the fact that he's going home to help and better the situation for others. LeBron is financially taken care of. LeBron doesn't worry about anything but he's going, and this is what I have to salute this young man for. He did what was best for him, and if he didn't go to Miami, he wouldn't be in a position to come back and do what he does. And I think that's a big factor that's overlooked. He's going back to help. And the service to others is the rent you pay for your space here on Earth. Muhammad Ali, life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Dr. King, the Son of Man came to serve and not be served. And that's what it's all about. And I think he has to be, Adrian, I think, you know, we have to take his hat off to him. He, as it was said earlier by Devil Bear Howe, he reached his zenith of what he could do in basketball. And he did it twice, two championships and four shots at it. I think we got to take a hat off to him.
He get all the credit he deserves.
Yeah. I mean, forgiveness is out of case.
This time, and I wanted to say to the audience out there, 4 years today, it was that he made that decision, and he pissed off a lot of people with that little press conference he did. This time, handled it.
Well, listen, he could have had another press. Piss on those he pissed off. You can't be concerned about people who are not in your corner and not helping your situation. You got to be concerned about people who are down with you and in your corner, you know. You want to be around the people who fan the flames in your life, and you want the people who are fanning the flames. I mean, LeBron, nobody besides – go ahead, Adrian.
I was just going to say, you know, this guy does not get the credit that I think, you know, because he's very young, you know, and he's still
tremendous
a lot
point,
more,
tremendous
lot more
point.
Maturing.
He came out of high school
in
the league.
And I think that, you know, people like that, there's always a method to the madness, I always say, you know, like – He has a very, very high basketball IQ that I think is very underrated. And
I watched the way he passed the ball. And I remember what Jabbar said the first time he played against Oscar. The ball went one way and he went the other. And Oscar explained to him what happened. And Oscar explained to him that the way he passed the ball was in such a manner that once he got the pass, he could not be defended. And I remember a game watching LeBron passed, and he passed in that same manner. When you got the ball, not only you were in position to shoot, but you were in a position that you couldn't be defended. Tremendous basketball IQ, and once again, the thing of us just jumping high and just playing off instinct, and you're right. They don't see him as they don't see most African-American athletes with the intellect and the fundamental soundness, which would make Jordan so great to play the game, Lady A.
Yeah, I always start off by saying, you know, Hoopster and Jump Shot are the basketball experts, but, you know, just from playing ball myself, I could just say that a guy like that, you know, there was a method to the madness, and number one. And number two, from what I see from from him in general, Hoops, because, you know, we always talk, you know, about ball. I'll tell you this. With this guy, he has freakishly, like, you see the guy? He has freakish strength. The guy is very strong, going to the hole. He has tremendous basketball IQ. But the one thing I'll tell you with him, too, is he has great court awareness. One of the things I see about him, too.
And also, he worked on his jump shot, too.
You brought this to my attention, too, along with his passion. Like, he has a tremendous court awareness. Yeah. And I would never compare a guy like him to Jordan, because to me, Jordan's in his own league. But just the way that he plays the game, he makes other guys better.
And he plays defense.
Exactly. You see a lot of guys, they're great offense. They're perfect scorers, but when it comes to defense and passing,
that was the thing that made Jordan. They talked about Jordan was that, you know, the guy scores, but damn, man, you know, he didn't want to let you get no points. And that's the thing that made Oscar Robertson. You talk about great courtness. And that term you made is great because it doesn't fit or is substantial to say about everybody, because it's a line people throw around now that's really in vogue that has no substance to it. Like, well, you know, does he make players better? Not everybody can. Everybody does make players around them better.
Right.
They don't have the ability. And some people do, some people don't. Charles Barkley was a guy that every team he ever left was not the same team once he left the team. Oscar Robertson, great. They say it's amazing. Oscar always looked to pass the ball first. Astonishing. When you realize he retired for the 25.7 lifetime average, second highest score in the history of the game, and number one in assists. And the fundamental soundness. So you're right, because everybody doesn't make – everybody can't, okay? A hawk can't fly as high as an eagle. Everybody can't make everybody around them better. And you talk about the defensive aspect. Oscar Robertson told me something I'll never forget. Among the many things Oscar told me, SID, late night, where you get it last, where you get it first, where you get it right. It's Lady A, jump shot, and the hoops to hear. Oscar Robertson, and once again, all by the grace of God, these blessings and chances we just got. Oscar told me something. He said it proudly, and he said it defiantly. Nobody, Oscar Palmer Robinson told me, nobody ever scored 40 points on me. That was Jordan was about. That was Jordan. Understanding what your defense means, but here's the bottom line, too. You got to be able to score, too. I mean,
I think one of the things we never talk about, too, is the mental toughness. You talk about Jordan almost didn't even make his varsity team in high school. He's a guy, just the mental toughness. The guy sees beyond what's in front of him. You know, I was reading a book Michael Jordan had out, and he was talking about, you know, another thing that comes up is the mental approach to the game. And his thing is, you know, after he wins a title, he doesn't sit there and delve into the whole, oh, I'm great, and I had to accomplish this and accomplish that. He's already thinking 2-3 steps ahead about the next thing, you know. And you know, you got to admire a guy like that. You got to admire a guy that, you know, has that mental toughness and has the foresight.
You don't rest any low. I remember sitting in Shea Stadium and looking up on the board of two quotes from the late, great Jack Roosevelt Robertson, that my late mentor Art Rush would like to do, that give you the full name. And one said, once again, this goes to Will LeBron, a life is not important except for the impact it has on another life. And then it had another quote that reminded me of Jordan. Reminded me of the legendary, the greatest stickball player of all time, Nellie Mays. Reminded me of him and all the guys who, Oscar Robertson. And then the quote was, from Jackie Robinson, above all else, I hate to lose. You know, and you got the competitive drive and spirit. And Mike said something in a documentary, so they said, you know, you do things in practice. So when it's game time, I did this before. I went to the top of the key and shot this jump shot. I've shot this, you know, off a double screen from hoopster and jump shot. I've done this before. You know, practice has its purpose. Now, guys like Riley and sometimes Chuck Daly overdid it. I don't need 3 hours of practice. I mean, give me a half an hour. I don't need 3 hours of practice. I shot it 20 times. Well, I got to shoot 85 times. And what a great, great player he was. Had injuries not appended him. Derek Coleman. And Derek used to tell Chuck, Chuck, you know, I can't come here, do practice from 11 to 2, and then you play 40 minutes, and I can't do it. And late, great Will Chamberlain, my buddy, told me that that's why Riley, if you remember the year that the Sixers beat the Lakers, Scott and Magic had hamstring pulls. I mean, how much practice did Riley need to practice with Magic, Jabbar, Worthy, Scott? And they said, he's great players and Western guys. And then and Will told me that Riley got fired. Riley got fired. I mean, looked around, and there's Magic hobbling, there's Scott hobbling. These guys are tired. I mean, come on, Pat. Yeah, I mean, they don't need 3 hours of practice all the time. And what happened with the Knicks? Didn't win the championship with that. 3 hour practices? Come on. But an insatiable attitude, the thirst, and not the great Derek Sanderson Jeter, who always saluted, him and A-Rod had the record for both starting games by a third baseman and a shortstop opening day. And Derek, who I've said this a million times, who just had his birthday the same day as my late grandfather, Bishop Paul M. Howe. My grandfather used to say, if you die in hell, don't go to expect to see me there, you'd be sadly mistaken. And I remember during one of the championship with the Yankees had clinched the pennant, won the division, and they're pouring champagne. And the reporter asked Derek, does this get old? And Derek said, this never gets old. This never gets old. I remember the great Billy Bang Bang, and he was coming down the street one day, and they were playing, and Melly and the guys were there, and Melly was telling the guy, come on, hurry up, come on, score. And Billy looked at the guy, and Melly said, wow, man, what's the score? Melly said, 17-3. You're down 17. No, we're up 17-3. Desire. You know, you're striving for perfection, realize you're never going to get there, but you're striving for it. And these guys, Oscar, Jordan, both sides of the ball, realizing what has to be
LeBron.
How
many of those characteristics, and Hoops, you could chime in on this too, because we're bringing up some really good points here. My thing is how many of those characteristics that Jordan had did you see in Magic Johnson? You know, the same kind of, same style, both guys are that clearly leaders, the passion that Magic had, and also here's another thing that I want to just say, also another characteristic similar to Jordan and Johnson was the fact that they both were able to add different things to their game. Like look at the end of Magic Johnson's career, he was able to do the skyhook, and go down to the paint and score when it was asking him to score. I mean,
what he said he practiced. Larry Bird too. I remember Julius told me when he first came to the Sixers, him and Daryl Dawkins were at practice, and he showed Daryl a couple of things, and Daryl said he thanked them. He said, that's the first time anybody had showed him anything. I think it's part of the resume of the great ones. I can shoot the jump shot. Now I got to learn how to shoot a three. Now I got to learn how to go down. But Magic, that was always part of Magic's game. Magic at that size, there's no question, he would back guys down the way it was an integral part of the great Oscar Robertson. I mean, Walt Frazier talked about Oscar, Clyde, and West. He said, West comes down the floor. You know what West's going to do. He's looking for that jump shot. Oscar's coming to back you down. Oscar can shoot 20 feet out, but if he can back you down and shoot a four-footer, he can. But he said the great Earl Monroe. He said, and we're so blessed to have his one of his uniforms in our Justin Garth Sports and Deaf Entertainment Artifacts Hall of Fame. And he said, but Earl, every time down the court, it was a brand-new deck. And Earl was another one that doesn't get credit for playing both sides of the ball. And I think, African-American athletes don't get the credit because that's what was instilled in college. You played both sides of the ball. And you academically were up at a high standard. If you didn't have a certain average, you couldn't play. It was when the guys got to the white colleges where, hey, don't worry about it. You'll be taken. Late Lou Hudson, a friend of mine, my cousins, my late cousins now, Roy and Don Oldham, and they grew up with Lou. Said Lou was my height was 5'8", 5'9", his freshman year, and the next year he grew up to 6'5". into Lucid, and we were talking back in the 60s, and man, you were good in the play. Somebody took the test for you. But, I mean, you didn't do that in Norfolk State. You didn't do that in Howard. You didn't do that at Winston-Salem. You didn't do that at your Black Virginia Union. But I think fundamentally people forget that defense has always been an integral part of every aspect of sports, especially in African-American colleges. I mean, who's the greatest defensive player of all time? Lawrence Taylor. Defense. Defense. And you're right. I mean, attributes of Scotty, another outstanding defensive player. Michael, Scotty, Oscar, Walt Frazier. I mean, that was Walt's hallmark. Walt talked about he only became an offensive player because Willis got hurt. They needed the offense from someplace else. But, I mean, he talked about his great defensive skills. He said he would, it was possession of him stealing. He said, but he would watch how I dribble the ball all game long. I'm cruising right along. Now it's the fourth quarter, boom, he steals the ball. You know, I mean, he lured me in. He knows what I'm going to do. Say the same thing about Willie Mays. You know, Willie Mays was just a genius out in center field. So Willie Mays would come to the plate, take a high inside fastball for a strike, and go ahead back. And I think when he comes again, I got him. I throw him the same pitch. It's gone. It's gone. But, so, I mean, you're making tremendous. I mean, the great ones are never happy. I think, you just don't sit on your laurels. It's like today. The three hits I got in the game today is no good tomorrow. I got to get some hits again tomorrow.
Yeah, I think anybody that, you know, in the NBA that has had some type of success, I mean, you look at a guy like, what's his name, from San Antonio.
Duncan.
Take Tim Duncan. Everybody thought he was going to retire. Here he is. You know what? Because everything is centered around the nucleus. The nucleus is Pop. And they know that Pop, being their coach, you know, they want to play for him. And, you know, you got a guy like Duncan. Everybody thought that they were going to, you know, that was it, that he was going to retire. Here he is. He wins the championship. Now he's like, nah, you know what? I'm going to stick around a little longer. You know?
I mean, it's two things here.
Like Parker Parker? I mean, Doc, and you know last year, not this past year, but last year, in Hoopsa, tell me Parker wasn't lighting it up last year in the finals. He was lighting it up.
Definitely.
They lost. He was lighting it up last year. You know, and now this year they just, listen, they showed this year they deserved to be where they needed to be. And you know what?
Yeah.
Kudos to my man Hoopsa for saying I like the San Antonio's going to do it again, Lady A. How did we call it at the beginning? She said, Lady A. I said, I don't know Hoops. They're hell of Hoops. I don't know. They get no Hoops. I don't know Hoops.
Well,
there's
two things here you go with that. First of all, they're a cohesive unit who know each other. And we go back to experience has its place. I mean, sometimes it's overplayed. Yes, I give you five first-year players who beat any experienced players you got. Okay, I'll give you five first-year players. I'll put my first five out there, and you give me five experienced players. And so experience has its place, no question about it. But it's what Larry Holmes said. And I see, once again, talking to Robert Parrish, one of the 50 greatest players, and once again, by the grace of God, a pair of his sneakers in the Trust in God Sports and Death Entertainment Artifacts Hall of Fame. And I said, Chief, what are you going to do next year? And he said, you know, I don't know. And then I told him what Larry Holmes had said. Remember, Larry Holmes had told me, I said, it's hard to stop doing the best thing you do in life and people are going to pay you for it. I mean, I remember Art Russ Jr., the late, great Art Russ. I heard one of his show, and some guy was calling, and Art said, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to be a baseball manager. And you have to look at it. What are these guys going to fall back onto? You know, a high percentage of them don't even have their college degrees. But what are they going to fall back onto? I mean, so you got a chance to do another year at